association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 102. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
Alicia's only got a few minutes to appear on the show. Why is that?
Let's go.
Right. We're talking about The Empty Child and... can I say that in English?
No.
Listen, we're talking about The Empty Child Doctor Dances, which you haven't watched recently, but you did watch a few years ago, didn't you? And it scared the living daylights out of you, did it not?
Mm-hmm.
So much so that you can't bring yourself to watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, what can you remember of the story?
It was just scary.
Never mind the scary bits, but can you remember anything of the story?
No.
So how can you... all you remember is, what is it that scares you? Tell me exactly what it is.
I don't know, I just don't like it.
There must be something that, you know, when you think of it, think, oh, I don't want to watch that.
No, I just don't want to watch it.
So what was it that, you know, is there an image in your mind that comes
no,
to...
No, I just don't like watching it.
So you can't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
You can only remember that it was scary.
Yeah.
So that illustrates to me that it's not that scary. So you can watch it, can't you, Isabella?
Yeah.
Right then, so we'll get Isabella watching it and we'll identify from Isabella's point of view as to whether it is scary or not. We'll watch
She thinks everybody can see her. Look at her face.
We'll watch it in the morning, so you've got plenty of time to forget about it. Okay, so that's going to be something happening in the future on this show. Right then, the other thing, Alicia. Now, you had rather sexy couple trying to speak English. Background noise, by the way, is... most beautiful woman in the world, tidying. Yes. Yeah, you had rather a successful week, did you not? Go on, tell the listeners all about your successful, well, basically
a
successful
night. Have they got Global Rock in America?
Well, it's called Global Rock. I don't know whether it's called Rock Challenge in America. It started in Australia, though, so well, it's quite possible that people...
Yeah, he probably will. No, it's in Australia. Yeah.
What's in Australia?
Yeah, because it is started in Australia, so what you call it will know about it.
What you call it will, yes, right, yes. So go on then, to tell us all about your successful night.
We won!
A bit more detail than that.
Medina College won!
No.
We won our heat!
Yeah, fair enough, but how does it relate to you?
Because all our school went home, back to the island, and me and Dad were the last ones left, so I had to go up and collect the first prize. On my own.
And you managed to keep your composure, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
And you got handed the trophy by... the mayor of Southampton,
mm-hmm.
and got congratulated by all the other dancers from all the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went, wah, boo, hoo, hoo, hoo. Then you phoned up your school, didn't you?
Yeah, and then they screamed down the phone.
What did you say to them before they screamed down the phone? We won!
Yeah.
No, we won! We won! Get a teacher! Miss, we won!
And last, I was like, "Is this an H?" She goes, "Yes, I am, you pleb." I was like, "We won." She was like, "Are you talking about
pleb? Who did you call her pleb?"
She called me a pleb.
Who did?
Miss Shurik. And then she was like, "Are you talking out your bum?" I was like, "No, we've actually won." And then all I heard was her running down the ferry, screaming, "We won!" And 50 kids screaming.
Excellent.
And then apparently Mr. Thomas said to me that then they. Apparently they all ran, the whole 50 kids ran down the boat to Mr. Thomas and Miss Cook.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the boat and started screaming.
So they were actually on the boat at this point? Oh, I thought they were on the coast.
No, with the public as well. So the Red Funnel staff and the public would have loved that. But I feel there was about 10-30 boats, so probably there wasn't that many people on there. But people who were trying to sleep on the boat were probably not having that much of a pleasant time. But well. I wonder if the trophy's up today.
Well, it might be. They've got a special area.
Oh, she said that she's going to pin off the picture of me winning it. I was like, brilliant.
What,
I look
egg?
Awful. Like,
no, you should be up there.
But County Press has come in this week to take a picture of all of us. Be in the County Press.
They should just stick the picture of you with the trophy in the County Press, shouldn't they,
Mum? I don't know. They're going to do a whole page spread on it because Carisbrook won as well, so it's going to be both our schools together.
Yeah, we should be.
Well, you should be in the picture. And you should be mentioned, the fact that you were just...
Global Rock mentioned me on Twitter.
Yeah, briefly. So...
I'm still on a hype, by the way.
It's to do with us. It's to do with this podcast.
Ask him if he does know about Global Rock.
Who? Well, Rhys isn't probably going to be on the show this week because he's got problems with his laptop.
Oh, can you email him and ask him if he knows about
Robert
might
be on this week. Robert knows quite a lot of stuff, so maybe he'll know about it. But it's more likely Rhys will, because Rhys is involved in theatre.
Oh, can you ask him? Can you ask him, then?
And he's still at school, so
can
maybe...
Can you ask him?
He's not on this week. You just have to remember to ask
him. Ben might know about it, because they do...
He might do, yes, because his older daughter probably...
Does Global
Rock. Does stuff like that. Well, if I can remember to...
Please.
I will. But anyway, right, so the next morning... We had the trophies on our possession. We took them home, didn't we? And then you had to try and get them to school. And you got cross because your mum had put the trophies into a Sainsbury's bag, was it, Mummy?
Sainsbury's bag.
And you took exception to the idea of carrying a Sainsbury's bag to school. I can understand that, the logo and stuff. But it was a very good...
Sorry.
The logo, I mean the Sainsbury's
bag. No. It was a bag.
Yes.
What difference does it make?
But it's still a way of protecting the trophy.
Exactly.
So I didn't think it mattered on this particular occasion. So what's your reaction to, our sort of confusion as to why it's so bad taking these items to school
because
in a Sainsbury's bag?
You get judged on anything you do. If you take a Sainsbury's bag in a school, I'll get judged on it for life.
Will you? For life?
It's like a fashion show. If you don't have the right stuff, then...
But fortunately, the trophy did manage to get in, and when you got to school, everybody...
I went to Mr. Thomas first, because he's a head teacher.
Yes.
I went to his office, showed him the trophy, then I go, can I take it to Shorrock, because she hasn't seen it yet. And then Shorrock, Miss Shorrock.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We all call her Shorrock. And then took it to Shorrock. They were all in the library waiting for me, ran in. Chucked my bags down, ran in with the trophy, and we all just started screaming.
Shame to know nobody was filming this event, isn't it?
Yeah, but
this day and age, all these phones with video abilities on it, nobody saw fit to record it.
Yeah, plus Mr. Thomas could bother to come with me, and he's got an iPhone.
No, it would have been great to film it. That would have been a good YouTube thing, wouldn't it, Mummy?
Yeah.
I would have loved someone to film. I would have loved someone to film when I called him. See every action. That's the only thing I missed.
Yeah, well, again, you should have texted them first and say, somebody filmed this, I'm just about to phone up with the results. Yeah?
Yeah, but I was so excited, I wasn't thinking about it. I wanted to tell them what I won. And then, you know when they all started screaming, I, handed it to the crew. Like, the whole crew were standing around me, weren't they? I was like, listen.
Well, one bloke was there. I thought
it was two. He's a producer of Global Rock.
Is it?
Yeah.
Winning that obviously means you're now in the final for Global Rock
on the 7th of June
in Portsmouth
on Thursday
in Portsmouth Guildhall, you want to see.
And now we're preparing for it. Well, we can't prepare to next week because our choreographers have got A-level exams, so we can't do it this week, but we're doing it next week. Next Wednesday we're starting rehearsals, or Monday, we haven't decided yet.
Excellent. So how long have you got before you got to leave to school now? It's what time have you got to leave?
5 minutes.
Oh, good, I've got time. Where's my phone? Anyone seen my phone? Anyone seen my phone? Oh, there it is. Hidden, as usual. So, all in all, quite a thrilling... And did you not say at the time the highlight of your life so far?
Yes, well, one of them, because the other highlight was winning.
Was appearing on the show, yes.
Appearing on the show. Appearing on what? This
podcast.
No, the other highlight was doing Carnival.
Oh. Well, what's better, the Carnival, winning Carnival Queen or winning the Global Rock?
Well, Carnival Queen was something that I feel proud of.
Because it was just you on your own?
Yeah, but winning Global Rock is like a team thing and it feels much more better. And we watched it as well. We watched the actual Global Rock on the Friday and it was the atmosphere.
So...
I think it's going to be on every lunchtime now because people want to watch it and now they haven't seen it, so...
So you're more of a, you're saying that the Global Rock was more thrilling than winning the Carnival Queen because
it's
it was
more
a team
thing. Yeah.
So that makes you a bit of a team player then.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mummy? What do you think? What are you prouder of, her winning the Carnival Queen or winning Global Rock?
Both.
Oh, bless. Is the correct answer. There you go.
But she won't be proud because she'll pay her more money. To get me to Portsmouth.
I don't think she objects to paying money out when if it's a success. Nobody parent objects really to spending money out on things if it works out as a success. And on this occasion, we haven't had to spend that much money on Global Rock.
Yes, we did. 27.
What did we have to buy with Global Rock? It was
a shirt, boat fare, and coach fare.
And
And food on the boat.
My ticket and stuff. But yes. at the end of the day, it ended up to be...
And my ticket.
So that was worthwhile. Uh-huh. But you have to...
Even though, the next day, I got back at 1:30 in the morning, and I had a GCSE exam that day. A maths exam. Yeah. Oh, and I got an A in my English GCSE.
That was the other thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so shall we quickly do eBay, then?
If you want to
remember, remember what was number one last week?
Yeah, that 43,000. That 43,000.
Well, that's it, we can't do eBay this week.
No, that 43,000.
What's 43,000?
That 40,000.
Yeah, the number plate, Cherished Doctor Who number plate, 40,000.
Yeah.
No bids against it, surprise, surprise.
It's still on there.
Still on there.
Bus ticket, isn't it? Is it
do you realise
I've got
so much to catch up on this week?
Is your bus ticket in your wallet?
Yeah, I've got so much, I've got so much to catch up on.
I didn't do anything with a bus ticket.
Is it in your wallet?
Yes, I've got so much.
Is it in there?
Yes!
Is it damaged?
No! I've got so...
ID?
Yes!
Card?
Yes!
That's why you keep getting
asked. No, you need the ID card.
When I couldn't get on the bus on Saturday,
you should
know?
Have had your ID card to prove.
No, apparently, you know the actual thing, it says PP point at the top. Apparently, it was a fraud. I was like, she was like, I'm going to have to take a picture of this. I was like, why? He goes, where did you get it from? I was like, the co-op. He goes, no, where did you get it from? I was like, my dad got it. He goes, are you sure about that? I'm like,
yeah,
yes.
I was on the phone to her at the time.
I was like, do you want to speak to my dad? He goes, no, I'm asking you. I'm like, I got it from the co-op.
Yeah, you should.
And he goes, if it's captured CCTV, I'll charge you with fraud.
That's what it means.
Yeah, so he was being. I could hear him in the background. Is exactly what he did say.
He should be reported.
Right, the number one item on eBay this week with bids against it is £89 plus £25 postage, and that is large collection of Doctor Who figures and collector's cards, over 100 figures. So, basically, if you want to buy that, it's going to cost you well over £100.
It's good for your money, though.
Not really. All used, they're not in packaging, yeah?
Yeah.
And the number two is a Doctor Who U-boat jacket, Kriegsmarine, which is a replica what's his name? Christopher Eccleston's jacket, and that's at £99.
Why would you want to buy that?
Well, it's just a nice jacket, isn't it? £99 plus £4 postage. I don't think we've got time for a third item, Deb. I'll just have a quick look down the list. See if we've got quickly time for a third item.
I'll have to look up, aren't I?
And then we'll have to hope that nobody else on the team is not available this week to do the show.
Who's doing the show with you today?
Ben, Kirby and Robert, if none of them decide they're not available. So, here it is. Doctor Who figures, over 100, and accessories, job lot for £89.99. There we go.
Yeah, but you just said that.
No, it's a different one. That's it. Thank you, everybody. So hopefully we'll see a bit more of you next week, Alicia.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hello, Kirby.
Hello.
Hello, Ben.
Hi.
And to everyone's surprise, hello, Reese.
Hello.
Goodness me, it's Reese, everybody. Look at that. I'm surprised.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Da, da, da.
Can I just say, before we get going,
yes?
I'm listening back to last week's podgram.
What? You listened to it?
Right now?
Hang on, the show?
No, what's going on?
It makes more sense at what I'm about to say. And I did.
Go on, then. Yeah, go on.
I'll just pretend that I did. I'll start again. I'm listening to last week's... Dear Mr. Pearson, on listening to last week's podgram, I realised that maybe the name of the podgram should be changed from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who and Other Random Stuff podcast. Bearing this in mind, if anyone knows, without shooting them, how to stop cats crapping on my front lawn, I would be most intrigued to find the answer. Otherwise, I'm going to have to borrow my best mate's shotgun.
I got one. Get a dog.
Yeah, the problem is then I have to leave the dog outside all the time. And the other problem with that is...
Well, you still got to clean up crap from the lawn.
Did I hear a little strange utterance there from you, Reese, you naughty podcaster? I'm going to have to get the bleeper out now, thanks to you.
Beep.
Or both of you.
I hate cats.
Pattern.
Do you?
I'm not a big dog.
You're turning into a robot. Beep. Beep.
I'm pooing on my front garden. I'm not happy about it. I just went out there for a bit of fresh air-ish.
And crap.
And there is just crap all over my front garden. There must be about six or seven animals last night who just thought, I'll tell
Ben,
you what.
You need to toilet train yourself, Ben. Okay, not on the lawn.
I know I might have got a little bit dizzy last night.
It's good fertilizer.
It might be good fertilizer, but it's not great when you stick your hands in it when you're doing your gardening, is it? Or when you're mowing the front lawn and suddenly a big piece of cat poo flies up. Yes. Not happy.
I totally agree. We patioed our garden and it still ended up with cat poo on it because they like the gravel around the edge, you see.
Yeah, they do. So anyone knows any decent way of getting rid of stopping cats and foxes pooing on your front garden, I'd be most appreciative to find out. Otherwise, warning to my next door neighbours, all of your animals will be dead.
Change the subject. Before I forget, Ben, Alicia has a question for you because, as you may or may not have heard, her school won Global Rock. Is your daughter, does her school do Global Rock by any chance?
I'm not too sure. I've heard of it before. I'm not sure if her... I think her junior school did, but now she started senior school this year. And I'm not sure if they do or not. But,
I think usually the senior schools do it more than the junior schools.
But they definitely did something and won something last year. But, I'll ask her when she gets home tonight, shall I?
That'd be great. Thank you very much.
My daughter's high school just went on from... They got fourth place in the Science Olympiad for the state of Georgia and are moving on to... Well, no, not for the state of Georgia, for the regional area, and they're moving on to the state level next month.
Huh.
So there.
I won that in 1987.
So, Reese, apparently Rock Challenge, of which I'm talking about, originated in Australia. So have you heard of it?
We have Rocker Steadfords. Yeah, we do. We have Rocker Steadfords.
No, it's not called Rocker.
I was just answering Rock that Challenge. I hadn't heard it.
Oh, no, I was going to say you haven't heard of it. Okay.
It was won by Kylie Minogue in 1986. Remember,
right? Kylie. It's a dance thing rather than a singing thing.
And then Dennis picked up second prize in 1998. So.
Okay, right.
Ben's got Wikipedia out again.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really 12 football game at the moment. I'm paying full attention.
Moving slightly on towards Doctor Who, there was a message that appeared.
What? Why would we do that?
There was a message that appeared somewhere. Somebody went on Facebook and... Adam from the Naked Scarf podcast, he put on Facebook that he'd been invited with a free ticket to the official Doctor Who convention as a podcaster there. Now... Right. That's all good for him. Well done. But what annoys me is why single out one or two podcasters for this sort of thing? Surely you would invite all of them or none of them. And I feel a bit hard done by, to be honest with you. I can't afford to go to conventions, eh?
And where are they in the charts?
It doesn't matter where they are in the charts. They got invited. the other thing, of course, is that on the 12th and 13th of May of this year, which is my birthday weekend, there's a convention in Peterborough called Peterborough. It's a convention in Peterborough called...
The borough where Peter is.
Or if you're American, Peterborough.
Yeah, the greatest show in the galaxy. It's called The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, and it's got all Star Trek Voyager cast, apart from Catherine Janeway, who... can't attend, which is a shame because it's all the others apart from her. Plus,
carrying cat crap off her front lawn.
Yeah. Plus, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, and Colin Baker, among other Doctor Who stars there. So it's going to be a superb convention. You have to pay £15 if you want your picture taken with any of these particular actors.
Good.
On top of the entrance fee. But if you want the whole lot thrown in together, the whole experience for the whole weekend, it's £180. But you have got a choice of how much you want to see. You can either go on a Saturday, you can go on a Sunday, you can go on both, you go in late. So you've got lots of different price ranges. So you could technically go in at 11 a.m. For £11 and pay £15 just to get a picture taken with Sylvester McCoy, for instance. So basically you can pick what you want to see or what autographs you want to get or whatever. For me, it does sound like a really good convention because you've got this choice, you know, of what you want to do, so you don't have
to
pay.
Can I just say, at this point, right, I understand that people might think that they want their pictures taken with those famous people, but when I was famous, I never charged anyone much to have my photo taken with them. And secondly, if you are going to one of these conventions and they're trying to charge you bag loads of money to have your photo taken with someone, here's an idea. Before you go, find yourself a stick, maybe a bamboo cane, a bit of cardboard, a computer and a printer. Go on the internet, find a picture of the person you want your photo taken with, cut it out, print it out, stick it on the bit of cardboard, stick the stick to the cardboard, and get any random person walking past at the convention to hold the face up to their face, and it looks like you're having your photo taken with someone, but with much less than 15 quid.
It's funny, I like the way you say you didn't charge much for having your picture taken. No, you charge cups of tea. He charged cups of tea, listeners, when I went up to the Saint.
What was this about you being famous? I thought you still were. Rather.
My radio career sunk like
Ironically, Ben, when you were a radio DJ, and a very good one at that, you actually now have more listeners now on this show than you did when you were at your radio
station. I don't think I did, actually.
Oh, no. Obviously, when you were on Radio 2 with Ken Bruce and Chris
Tarrant.
When
I was doing my own proper radio shows, I had plenty of listeners, thanks very much. I can list them all, Mum, Dad. Actually, they never listened. They thought I was rubbish.
Right.
As did the wife, who's just come back from the shops.
There's no accounting for taste. Anyway, right.
Yeah. By the way, as we're talking about that, I just say it's 13 minutes past 11? Here's the travel.
That's 13 minutes past 11. Here's some feedback.
What?
Feedback. Now, I sent an email to some chap in the United States of America called Kirby Bartley Slowan.
Who is this guy? We really can't pronounce his name, can we?
Yeah. But anyway, he's got some feedback from somebody. Who did you get feedback from then, Kirby?
I'm starting now.
Yes, you are, yes.
Oh, good. Go on, then.
Hi.
Hi. That, whoever is there. Okay, whenever I say hello to specific people, they are not there, and I forget to mention people who are there. So if you love Zoe's butt or Nicholas Knox or...
Norks. Nicholas Knox.
Well, Nicholas I am... This is what she wrote,
yeah,
okay?
No, fair enough.
Or have fingers up your butt. Hello!
What?
Hello!
What are you going to be doing about these fingers up someone's butt?
Please press the mute buttons.
I merely am reading the...
Oh, that'd be magic.
...on the pixels which have formed into characters that are patterns of letters that I see on
basically,
my screen.
You're reading the words.
Can you tell her that we don't need to know the technical things about LCD screen displays? You just need to sort of talk about Doctor Who.
That was Kirby.
I'm more interested.
Oh, it's Kirby. Sorry, I thought that was the feedback. I'm getting confused.
I'm more interested to find out who she thinks has got figures up their butts.
Fingers!
Oh, right, okay. Hold on, just let me pull this Romana out.
May I continue?
Please.
Romana 1 or 2.
Oh.
Listeners, this is why we prefer audio feedback.
Silly to write that.
Get out! That's the noise I made as well.
Carry on.
I think these two episodes of Eccleston's Doctor Who era are my favorite. Just the right blend of scariness and humor.
Yeah.
She misspelled humor.
She left the U out of it.
Oh, I thought that was the American way of spelling it.
It is. But we're talking a British show, and it should be spelled the British way.
Well, maybe
like
she forgot to turn up on her British spell checker.
Anyway. The scenes with Captain Jack, Rose, and the Doctor together are bright, energetic, and a nice lift in contrast with the darker, sadder, and scarier scenes that come in between. Is this the first time in New Who when someone, Rose, actually, asked the Doctor, I mean Doctor Who, when pressed to come up with a name to introduce
to Jack? I think it may well be.
I started researching that, and I think so, but I didn't have enough time this morning to completely research
neither
that.
Neither did I.
Neither did I, all those characters up me, but that's...
What words are they making?
I don't know.
Never mind!
I saw an interview with Eccleston in the early days when he was promoting the revival of Doctor Who. He was so enthusiastic. When asked why he would want to do the series, Eccleston replies that he has felt it to be his responsibility to do it right so that his kids who had never seen it would fall in love with the show and those who had grown up with it would feel totally engaged again. He spoke with great reverence and respect for RTD's vision for the show and how awesome it is to be working with him. Ask if he would want to be Doctor Who for a long time, like Tom Baker. He said no, he would just want to get it going on the right track and then move on. Till next time, Mary Lang.
Can I be pedantic?
Sure.
I think you missed out a paragraph. Unless people were talking over that bit. The bit that she says, I love the Doctor's line, one day I'm going to meet one person who gets the...
I did miss that. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, insert this between introduce him to Jack and I saw an interview. I love the Doctor's line, one day I'm going to meet one person who gets the whole don't wander off thing. We know how that will play out in the future. Never. And while I'm at it, I also love his effusive joy when he gets to say, everybody lives. Just this once, everybody lives. How did I miss that photograph?
Yes.
I'm like, someone distracted me.
Yeah, I wonder who that was. Who should we blame?
Stop doing that.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, thank you, Mary. But we want to hear a voice again. Don't worry, everybody.
Can we just say, sorry, Mary?
Why are you saying sorry, Mary? For what have you been doing to her?
Interruptions.
Didn't you hear what we just did while Kirby was trying to read her email?
I was trying not to listen to what you were trying to, because it sounded a bit rude.
A bit.
Mm.
Can I mention something?
Oh, God, here we go. Yes? Because,
you know, he says at the end, you know, everybody lives, just this once kind of thing, right?
Yes.
What about Fury from the Deep? Nobody died in that.
And didn't the previous story, nobody died in it because everybody was brought back, apart from, obviously, Pete. But, you know,
okay, somebody died.
Yeah, all right, fair enough then.
And also, on that scale, I watched Man United Tottenham yesterday, nobody died. Everybody lived.
And Arsenal won, didn't they?
I don't give a monkeys about Arsenal. But at least they beat Liverpool, because I hate Liverpool. Liverpool and cats. Mm.
But Saints won after a magnificent display by Kelvin Davis.
They did. They did very well.
Wow. Don't you think that's one of the best goalkeeping performances ever?
For an 86-year-old goalkeeper, yes. He's still pretty good.
He's amazing.
Which will mean nothing to anyone apart from people who know about Kelvin Davis.
Certainly the best goalkeeping performance by a Southampton goalkeeper, anyway.
86 years old?
Yeah, about that.
And still playing.
Ben, you've got some feedback. You've got some feedback from a chap called Richard Culp.
Are we back?
We're back.
What do you mean, are we back?
This one is entitled...
We started talking about football.
Yes, we're back now, yes. If you stop interrupting, then he could then talk about the email, couldn't you, Ben?
21 minutes past 11, and this email comes in from Rich. Sorry, I was doing the radio thing again.
No, it's 21 minutes past 5.
Nah, 10.
21 minutes past 7 p.m.
10.
Clock's wrong. Greetings. This week will be a short email. Love, Richard Culp.
What? Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard, for the effort. Anyway, moving on. Okay, I'll read the rest of it. This week will be a short email. I won't say much about this episode since I feel I should have really watched it again. And you collectively did a great review of the story. This story just is packed with so many. This is about Father's Day, by the way. So many good things to comment on, but I won't. But I do want to say one thing that stood out for me. This story had a wonderful moment where they removed the Doctor from the story. Sure, it wasn't a permanent removal. Would have been a bit of an early end to the series if it was.
Yeah. A bit premature.
The Doctor dies in episode 6 of a 13-episode run. I mean, then what are you going
to
do?
Beginning of the whole entire run of New Who,
you're going to have to spend the next 7 episodes seeing if you can
get
they
change the title. It'd be Doctor Where, wouldn't it? Not Doctor Who.
It'd be just called Who.
It'd be called
Who's the main character?
Sure, it wasn't a permanent removal, but it was still an impactful element. The one person that always has the answer or comes up with the plans to solve the situation was removed. This created a wonderful moment where we had to see who would step up and find the solution. A very blatant moment as well. One thing I always enjoy in Doctor Who is when someone else steps up and has their moment of glory. I loved seeing Ian holding off the Ixta.
Ixta, yes, in Aztecs.
In the Aztecs. Mm. The Doctor may always find a solution in the end, but he can't always do everything. No, he can't fix leaks, actually. If you've got a problem with your plumbing, call a plumber, not the Doctor.
Well, he's never been sort of asked to fix a leak, as far as I know.
Yes, there was a leak in the TARDIS once, and it went wrong.
Okay.
It became a swimming pool. The removal of the Doctor in this story is a very brilliant part of showing the viewer this key component to the series. Hope you enjoyed this little food for thought and keep up the great work. P.S. There's a P.S., everybody. There's a P.S. I do think I have to say a little bit more than just thank you to Mr. Russell. How odd would the look on his face be at a short two-word letter sent across the Atlantic Ocean? Sorry, Ben, but it has to say something more than that.
Oh, William Russell. Sorry, I thought it was about Russell T. Davis. Yeah.
Mr. Russell is what he said.
Yeah, I got you. Yes, indeed.
I was thinking of R2-D2.
R2-D2? That's from in Star Wars. What are you on about? Didn't R2-D2 come up last week in the conversation?
I beg your pardon?
Twice in a row for the R2-D2 show.
There we go.
Go ahead, go that way. You'll be resting within a day.
I have some feedback from
yourself.
Great friend and fan of the show, Chuck Gears, who I called Greers, and I do apologise, Chuck, keep on calling you Greers, it's because I can't pronounce things, basically. And he says,
At least you didn't mispronounce the first name. If you swapped the C for an F, then you could have been
all right. God. Here are some random thoughts on the empty child Doctor dances. They never resolved Jack's missing year plotline. This might be Christopher Eccleston's finest moment
not over yet.
As the Doctor. Nancy, Florence Hoth, would have made a good companion. I would be interested in seeing an actual Chula in an episode of Doctor Who. A Chula.
And we'd have another Jamie in the show then, wouldn't we?
Would we?
If Nancy came on because her son's Jamie.
Of course.
Oh.
Where does this take place in World War II timeline compared to the Victory of the Daleks?
1944.
Yeah, we did. This was asked actually when Victory of the Daleks was on, wasn't it?
No. 1941, because the Blitz ended.
In the spring.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, don't fight.
I was never good at history.
Obviously not.
Was a Wednesday.
I think it was these episodes. All right, thank you. I think it was these episodes that cemented the return of Doctor Who as a success. I love the talk Rose and Nancy have as they repair the barbed wire. Could Nancy use the information Rose gave her to alter her own future? I'm not sure about it. I was thinking that, actually, at the time.
Well, she could have done quite easily, couldn't she?
She knew that Britain would win the war. So
she could change things by knowing that, though, couldn't she? And
yeah,
then
she could sort of just put a bet on it. Maybe she'd go down the bookies, put a bet on it.
Exactly, she'd have gone down William Hill. Yeah. You know, the odds would have been swinging in the favour of the Germans at that point. And, you know, she could have placed a big wager.
Down here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Big wager on Britain to storm a comeback in the second half. And,
yeah, especially as after that it looked like Germany were going to win it. And there was probably Britain thought there was no chance. And then to put a bet on it at that time, the odds would have been pretty high. So, yes, that could
first goal scorer, William Churchill.
Indeed. Anyway.
William Churchill, Winston Churchill.
Churchill, yes.
William Churchill, Winston Churchill.
Time would have been changed and he became William Churchill.
William Churchill was Winston Churchill's football-playing brother.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's clear that up straight away.
Could Rose and Jack be immune to the Chula nanogenes because they have come from the future they already had inherited the upgrade?
Ah.
Yes.
Ah.
And
ah.
The Everybody Lives scene is perhaps the happiest I have ever seen the Doctor. It is also one of my favourite scenes from any episode of Doctor Who ever.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Chuck.
Yes.
Which helps
us move.
Chuck.
Certainly the happiest we saw the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe so. Chuck or Charles. I'm thinking he goes by Chuck because that's the name he put on the email.
Yeah.
We've got some audio feedback, and I hope this works because I've got all awkward and dodgy connections. But this is from, and I haven't played this yet because I've only just received it. It's from James.
Ooh.
Jim the Fish.
Oh.
Yep.
This time the question is, what episode of Doctor Who would you like to be in if you had the chance? And this is
any of them?
Yes, any.
We could hear it.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Occupants of interplanetary craft are calling you. Establishing a connection now.
This is Jim the Fish, calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was impressed with your answers to my question in the last episode.
Oh, thank you.
You really know your Doctor Who.
Yes, I do.
Talking about questions, I've just returned from a mission to the planet Mars. where I had to ask a very important question. Investigating a strange transmission from the planet's surface, I discovered a large black pyramid. Inside the pyramid, I found a doorway, patrolled by two deadly guards. One of the guards told the truth. The other one always lied. I had one chance to ask a question to save my skin. Just like the Doctor Who adventure, Pyramids of Mars. As you are all fans of Doctor Who, I guess you will already know what I did. Yes, I went up to one of the guards, who was all wrapped up in bandages, and asked, "Are you my mommy?" Well, I have to make dinner now for my pet Vashtinirada, so I have just time to ask this question. If you 20 megabiters could be in an episode of Doctor Who, which episode would you choose? So now, I'll call this a wrap. No pun intended. This is Jim the Fish signing out. Until the next time.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim.
That's great.
Right then, so what episode of Doctor Who would you like to be in if you had the chance? Robert?
I know which one I wouldn't be in.
That wasn't what the question was, but carry on.
The web planet. I wouldn't be in the web planet.
Nor would I.
Well, I would... Oh, that's too hard. You can't just pick one, could you?
Yeah.
Of course you can.
No. Because, I mean, I'd love to be in a Tom Baker one, like, say, Pyramids of Mars or something like that, or Genesis of the Daleks. So you imagine something like that. But also, I'd love to be in a Troughton one as well.
Yeah. Okay, Kirby?
Too high.
Too much of a chance of getting shot or something. But
that's why you only be in one episode.
Exactly. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, so would I.
It's way too early in the morning to think about such things.
Well, I would like to be in The Five Doctors because I get to meet all of these old Doctor Who stars that were in it from Troughton, Pertwee, Davison.
No, Randall. No, those aren't those are actually the Doctor. They aren't Doctor Who stars.
No, but I get to meet them. I get to meet the Doctor in various incarnations.
Okay.
And people like Jamie very briefly and Zoe and stuff like that. And a Dalek and some Cybermen and the Master. They're all there.
Oh, excellent.
And then I have you'd found be the dead. From the TARDIS.
Not saying that's my favourite story, but if I could be in one, it would be the Five Doctors, I think.
I can't choose one.
I think I'd be in David Tennant's last one.
Pardon?
Really?
Oh.
Mm.
You'd be the one saying farewell to him at the end, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Will.
Yeah, I think I'd have wanted to put on the blonde wig and pretend I was Billy Piper.
I bet you've done that.
Of course, I think I'm sort of more, depending on what mood I'm in, I'd probably like to be in episode one of The Mind Robber on the console with Zoe. Or in episode one of The Planet of, hang on, which one was it? The one that Perry was first in?
That one. Yeah, I'd like to be in a bikini.
Planet of Fire.
That's
Planet of Fire, yes.
Episode one of that. And instead, of I could help Turlo carry it into the TARDIS. That wouldn't be a bad one to be.
Turlo was a crap companion.
He was okay.
Freaky
eyebrows.
Yeah.
Freaky eyebrows.
Or maybe be in some of the missing episodes so you knew what had happened and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, Fury from the Deep. Yeah.
Oh, but we know what
Power of the Daleks. Power of the Daleks. I'd love to actually be able to see.
Evil of the Daleks.
There are audio recordings of every episode, so we know.
I've heard all the audios of all the episodes. Just like to be
see
able to
what
see,
happens.
See it. Anyway,
pedant.
So,
canine.
Thank you.
So, yes, another brilliant question. Thank you, James. Love it. We've got some audio feedback. Some chat. Sorry, you were going to say something, Kirby?
I was about to say Noah. Feedback from Starfleet.
Starfleet?
Captain Kirk.
Don't know what you're saying.
I remember Sally James on Tiz was. She said it was an acronym of Today's Saturday, Wear a Smile.
Wake
get
up
back in
smile.
There. That was Adric trying to get out of room 101. That was Wesley Crusher. So much for the idea that you will never see those two in the same room. The Empty Child by Stephen Moffat. There was another TV show about a time traveller, Goodnight Sweetheart. The time traveller had a wife who became a singer in World War II.
Yeah, I quite like that series.
The scene at the beginning of this episode was similar to scenes in that.
Mm.
This story introduces us to Captain Jack Harkness in the days when he fancied women. He has changed over the centuries.
He still had a bit of a thing with a bloke.
No,
in her first episode, Rose said, "No A-levels, no job, but I'll tell you what I have got. School gymnastics team. I got the bronze." This was useful when she rescued the doctor from the Autons.
Absolutely.
It came in handy in this episode when she was struggling with a barrage balloon.
Yeah.
Rose had a nice t-shirt. I'm loving these t-shirts.
Spice Girls.
Captain Jack left the compound where the Tula craft was due to be hit by a bomb. He returned with a ship to save the Doctor. This reminds me of Star Wars, where Han Solo returned with his Millennium Falcon to save the day.
Yeah.
I think Jamie, the title character, was only wearing his gas mask when he was killed as a plot requirement. I think the procedure was to shout gas, gas, gas and put on a gas mask if you suspected there was a gas attack. Or a Slitheen. The 20 Megabyte podcast is usually about number 7 in the chart. We had a Louise Jameson interview and dropped to number 9. Then we had a Fraser Heisen interview and dropped to number 11. If we interview a doctor, we might drop out of the top 30. My other Amy Pond joke is on the Staggering Stories podcast. That would make a rubbish bumper sticker. Fear me, I mentioned another podcast. Fear Ben, he mentions all of them.
Yes.
Look at the size of that thing, Doctor. That is nearly only 20 megabytes. Yes, Jamie, it is a big one. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
See you, Kirby.
Oh. Interestingly, talked about where we are in the charts. How about the charts then, Ben?
You want the charts?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Here we go. Let's
hold them up for the viewer.
Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
And the charts.
That's what she said.
That was a genuine laugh, which I don't do very well on podcasts. Okay, here we go then. Are we all sitting are we all sitting comfortably?
Yes, thank you, yes.
Then we shall begin.
I'm not. It's nearly 30 degrees.
He didn't even get to the first syllable of the first one. He's interrupted. Unbelievable.
It's nearly 30 degrees, did you say?
30 degrees Celsius.
Well, I didn't think it would be Fahrenheit. That would be very warm at all. That's not worth showing off about, is it? Hey, everyone, it's -2. Brilliant.
It'd still be pretty uncomfortable, though, wouldn't it?
30 degrees.
Oh, it'd be nice if it was.
It's 39 degrees here.
39.
That's Fahrenheit.
Oh, Fahrenheit.
We had 13 Celsius on Saturday, and we thought we were having a heat wave.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Shall I cue the chart music later then? Maybe talk about weather for a moment.
I took one sleeve off my jumper because it almost got hot.
The thing is, though, Ben, normally when you used to do weather on the radio, you'd do some sort of link to it, and then. Goodness sake.
I don't know. Seriously, that never happened on my show.
What, burping or
I
weather?
I get thirsty and I need to keep my fluids up.
Oh, bless him. Right then, so we do the charts.
I don't know. Shall we bother or should we just say that? Okay. This week's top 30 podcasts. At number 30, a re-entry for Arrow of Time. At 29, a non-mover
re-entry
for Sonic.
For Romana.
Be quiet! Magic! I
got to 20.
Get ready.
That's got to be a record. At 29, a non-mover for the Sonic Toolbox. 28 is a re-entry for Drunken Time Travel. And at 27, up 3 for the Cultum Collective. 26 is a re-entry for Ian Todd's World of Podcasts. And at 25, it's new for the Oncoming Storm Podcast. 24 is a re-entry for the Time Meddlers. And at 23, it's up 5 for Earth Station 1. 22's up 1 for Travelling the Vortex, and at 21, a re-entry for Dirty Hooers.
Dirty Hooers!
At number 20, a re-entry, The Hookers from Germany!
Guten Tag, guten Tag.
And at 19, a new entry for the Doctor Who Book Club podcast.
What?
No, the yeah, Doctor Who Book Club. Wasn't that Steve from the, or was it Sean from the TARDIS Tavern podcast? Sean from the TARDIS Tavern podcast, yeah.
Does so that they one. Review books.
It's been out for a while, it just hasn't been a member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
What books?
Doctor Who books, as in the Doctor Who Book Club podcast.
Like the new one. Hey, when's Sharda coming out?
I don't know. Anyway, number 18.
I'd have to ask you to get me one.
Number 18 is up 7 for a madman with a box. And at 17...
Here we go. I'll cue it up.
Entry.
Four.
The. Ha.
Penis.
Patrol.
You never ruin someone else's comedy line. It's rule number one.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, he's sulking.
I am sulking. I was so pleased when I saw it back in the podcast chart. And I was building up, and I was going to leave it a mammoth 15 seconds between the.
Hey, that could be edited out. Okay, you could do it.
Go on, do it again.
It's recorded as live. Is I'm it? Disappointed.
Yeah, that'd be
at 17, a re-entry for the patrol. At 16, up 4 for 2 minute Time Lord. And at 15, up
that's
6
what
for
she
talk.
Said.
Shush, I didn't get that one because Naughty Robert, that's it. Magic, attack. A magic, attack. Right.
Go on, Magic. Right. Go on, Magic.
It's number 15.
Number jump on the couch. Come on.
Hang on.
Come
shush, on. Shush, shush, shush. Number 15, yeah,
jump on the couch. Jump on the couch.
Number one is Nicholas North.
No, we're on number 15 at the moment.
Wibbly wobbly, wibbly wobblies.
Nicholas North.
At 16, up 4 for 2 minute Time Lord. At 15, up 6 for Talking Who. And at 14, a re-entry for the Second Doctor's podcast. At 13, a re-entry for Waffle On podcast. And at number 12, up 5 for Doctor Who, Who's He. 11's a re-entry for Doctor
Who. I don't know,
who? Church. Number 10's up 4 for Stanley.
We didn't
Story.
Get number 11. That was Kirby's fault. Star! Kill! Thank
Come
you.
On.
Ow.
Kill! Kirby, go. Attack!
Ow.
Kirby. Is your magic, is your name Star? Kill! Oh, you've got them going now. Go on, attack! Go on!
You've got them going.
Looks like a nail, not attack.
God. Right, so I think the last time I heard it was number 12, Doctor Who, Who's He, and then we got to number 11.
Re-entry for Doctor Who cast.
Yep.
Number 10 is up 4 for Staggering Stories. Number 9, re-entry for the Doctor Who review today. Now I'm going to jump in and say the rest of the titles for me. Number 8, re-entry for Bad Will. At 7, up 2. It's the Pharos Project. Number 6 is up 5. Number 6 is up 5 for the guest free, therefore rising up the charts, 20 megabyte Doctor Who.
Number 6? Number
how
6?
I'm not a number.
I'm a free podcast.
Free man.
How is it possible for us to get guests on the show and drop down the chart, and then when us a bunch of rapscallions sit around talking over each other, ruining each other's jokes?
Petty.
Well, would you like me to explain it, or should we just carry on?
Because I listened to it last week.
Maybe so.
Number 5, up 1 for Impossible Podcasts. Number 4, a re-entry for the Ood cast. Number 3, a re-entry for Flashing Blade. Number 2, up 3 for the DWO Who cast. And up 1 to number 1, the people who got in there first with the title, the Doctor Who Podcast.
Hooray!
And the Ood cast went back in time. They did the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Back time.
I know. They're slightly behind, aren't they? Right then. Thanks, everybody, for the feedback. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ben, for persevering with the charts.
I'm upset.
You're upset, are you?
Aww.
Yes, I am.
I'll explain to my dear people from abroad that Doctor Who is a BBC programme. Okay,
and therefore British and made
really?
In seasons, yeah. not series.
Never
not,
usually, yeah, apart from in award shows, is Doctor Who mentioned on ITV until the other day when Matt Smith was a guest on Daybreak. And then it was mentioned on ITV.
Explain what Daybreak is.
Ow.
Daybreak
they've just
is
started
a...
filming the new series of Doctor Who. It's top secret, but Daybreak snuck in to get these shots. And get ready to ring in the changes. Matt Smith has got dizzy running in circles, so he's decided to sit down and hand over the reins to regenerate. Prepare to meet the 12th Doctor.
That'd be the bloke.
Ugh, what's happened to my face? It's horrible.
At least
that bow tie's gone. That was silly, wasn't it? Welcome to my TARDIS now, I guess. I wonder what this does.
Hello. I'm the Doctor.
Okay, he still is the Doctor, really, which is handy, because Matt and his co-stars are all going to this, the first official Doctor Who convention in Cardiff next month, where you get the chance to meet them all and see exactly how the show's made.
So what's it like? I mean, this is quite exciting, us being on the actual set. For fans to get to come and see you and see all the ins and outs of Doctor Who, they love it. They absolutely love Doctor Who, don't they?
Yeah, I kind of like that bit, actually, because you get to hear their opinions and the things they're passionate about and the things, you know, they're not as passionate about. And I think that's one of the real virtues of the show, is that the fans have very clear opinions on what Doctor Who is. Hopefully it should be fun.
At the convention there's going to be people dressed up.
Yeah.
There will be people
I really hope so. Dress up. That's what's fun about it.
What's it like when people dress as you?
It's cool.
It's nice,
isn't it?
It's
bizarre. It's a bizarre thing. But they're not dressed as me. They're dressed as the Doctor, you know?
Yeah.
And he's the one they like.
Yeah.
Amy, with regret, you're fired.
What? In the last series, of course, the gang was all very much in place, but the new series will see the departure of his companions, Amy and Rory, played by Karen Gillan and Arthur Darvill.
She's a great friend, and creatively I have a really interesting relationship with her and Arthur, but I think by the same token, the show is bigger than any of us. You know, it's been going in 2013, 50 years, and it will continue way after me.
Which, of course, begs the question, doesn't it? How long do you see yourself being the Doctor for?
Well, you know, it's a thrill playing the part. As you see, this is work.
This is home. This is great, isn't it?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time here, and I don't want to give it up anytime soon. You know, we've got a whole season to make Christmas special as well. So, you know, no time soon. I won't be leaving anytime soon.
So Matt's staying to film in Cardiff, but I need to get home. And I know one thing that's probably a lot quicker than the train.
Okay, so is it all right if you give me a lift home?
Absolutely. Wherever you want to go.
How'd you get this thing started? Have you got the keys?
I don't have the keys.
You told me you had the keys.
Have you got the keys?
You picked them up.
Well, hey, listen, I lose keys all the time.
You're useless.
Yes, and the TARDIS was in some field somewhere. So there you go.
When I saw that, I had no idea that it was ITV. I thought it was just another BBC show.
No, ITV's breakfast TV program called Daybreak, yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. I thought.
Well, how was I supposed to know it wasn't BBC?
Well, that's why I wanted to illustrate the fact. But there you go. So now we can move on to a program called The Empty Child.
I thought we talked about Doctor Who here.
I beg your pardon? Kirby?
Are you my mummy?
No, I'm not, actually. Funny you should say that, but no.
Ben?
Actually, she's asleep in the other room. Sorry. Oh.
Who is?
She's my mum.
My mother. She's 85.
Right. Aww. Bless. The TARDIS is spinning through space and chasing after some sort of strange cylindrical object, which is supposed to be an ambulance. Did the doctor say it was an ambulance? You've got a problem, have you?
Yeah.
You can get cream for it.
You can get ointment for that. Yeah, go on, sorry.
This was something that was commented on about the last series.
Yes.
Is I had to turn the subtitles on because the noise of the sound effects and, you know, when they start shouting, I just couldn't understand what they were saying.
Have you got a sophisticated surround sound system?
No, I didn't have that on.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have any trouble.
Are you sure there wasn't a Vogon guard around saying, I quite like shouting?
Anyway, this story is the... In those days, you see the title, The Empty Child by Stephen Moffat, no alarm bells would ring. So we.
Oh, it did.
Did they really?
Yeah, I jumped into my TARDIS. Went forward in time, found out that he actually then became head writer and ruined it.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, the TARDIS materialises in a beautifully dressed set that really does immediately look or feel like 1940s London.
Yes, it had a bow tie and a fez. It was beautifully dressed.
Very funny. And, of course, Rose is wearing that iconic Union Jack T-shirt she borrowed from Jerry Halliwell.
Jerry Halliwell wore a dress.
I know, but she probably had a range of Union Jack. Microphone's got stuck.
She had it tucked into her jeans, okay?
She had what?
I'd tuck
something in. Actually, it's not
tucked in. Does it really matter? This isn't the fashion
podcast.
So...
Grief. Anyway, they wander away from the TARDIS because they're trying to find this. Apparently, this cylindrical object has crashed somewhere.
It's Move Alert. It's Marcus Move Alert.
Yes, I did quite. That was quite clever, wasn't it? The Move Alert
because apparently
idea.
According to the rest of the galaxy, Red Alert is slightly camp.
Okay. Yes. I did like those lines.
Yeah.
Also, the use the Doctor has of his sonic screwdriver in this episode that is genuinely to unlock locks.
Yes.
Which is totally and utterly acceptable that a sonic wave could make a lock go click.
Like the rest of it.
Also, he makes reference to the psychic paper as being slightly psychic.
Slightly psychic, yeah.
slightly psychic.
And, of course, once he goes through that door, Rose spots some strange little child in a gas mask and then leaves the door. Does the wander-off thing that is mentioned in the feedback earlier on. So the Doctor sort of goes into a nightclub where, it does look really... It's beautifully dressed.
That's because it's night, in case you hadn't noticed.
No, it's not the fact that just because it's light. It's the fact that he walks in there, and, of course, it's sort of slightly misty because of the smoke and all the windows. The attention to detail, basically. The light switch, the windows. I've missed something, have I?
Go on.
Yes, go on.
Well, the Star Trek reference when Rose says, why can't you scan for alien tech? And he says, I'm just going to ask. He says, not very Spock, is it?
Yeah, I do remember that one. But
and the Spock thing goes through the entire
story.
Yeah,
through the episode, yeah.
Okay.
No, story, both episodes.
And with a Star Trek reference in earlier on in Series 6, we thought
series
that might...
Series 6 came after Series 1, so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that we thought that might... be it the first Star Trek reference in Doctor Who.
I just
Who
noticed, once the air raid starts... why doesn't anyone turn out the lights in the TARDIS? Because you have to have the lights out.
Yes, blackout curtains.
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
There's a magical thing about the TARDIS that puts up its own lights in inertia shield.
Well, the fact is the light itself has a shield that you can't really see it from above anyway. It's only from sideways.
No, I'm talking about the windows.
The windows from above, though, can you?
Little black things pop up.
Yeah, you get the glow.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the glow of the window.
Anyway.
Are you pedantic or something?
What does the Doctor ask? When he's in the nightclub, he gets up, he gets on the microphone, and he asks the audience.
Oh, that's funny.
Has
anything fallen from the sky recently?
Thank you. That's basically what I was trying to go to. And he gets quite a lot of laughs, because obviously he told a few of Ben's jokes prior to the bit where he asked them.
They only showed us the plot relevant stuff, not the jokes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then the air raid siren goes off. And because of this air raid siren going off, that we get to see Hev from EastEnders.
Who?
Hev.
Rushing into
the fat woman from EastEnders.
Air raid shelter.
Sorry, the,
you gonna make
the obese woman from EastEnders, I should say.
Right, don't keep mentioning EastEnders. I don't watch it.
Oh, well, I do apologize. Rose starts climbing up a rope because she's trying to get to the empty child.
Pedant.
Yeah, you missed something.
Pedant.
What?
Barrage balloons were never tied down with ropes because they could break. They used cables.
Okay. Well, the thing is...
Jay.
It's a very, so very good point. Very good point. But...
Who really gives a...
How would we have had this wonderful scene of her riding the barrage... What do they call them? Barrage balloons? Barrage balloons? Whatever there is. Yeah. Riding it. We wouldn't have that scene if it weren't for that slight incorrect thing. Anyway, the Doctor comes across a cat. The Doctor finds a cat. Now, isn't one of the Doctors not like cats after this?
I'm pretty sure
one of the Doctors said, I don't like cats. Anyway, this Doctor does obviously clearly like cats.
The Tenth Doctor loves them.
Well, maybe he's thinking of putting a cat pin on his lapel.
Maybe he is. Anyway, the phone starts ringing in the TARDIS.
It's a bit bad.
I love the phone in the TARDIS. I just love its oldness.
And back here during Series 1, they actually show that the reason it says pull to open is to pull open that panel.
Yeah, I know. I knew that.
Why? Well, the thing is that Idris goes... that's the one thing about the Doctor's wife that bothers me, is that Idris chides him about the pull to open, and it's referring to the phone.
Yeah, the strange thing about that also, Kirby, is that obviously that episode written by Neil Gaiman, and the fact that Stephen Moffat, who wrote this episode and was the showrunner for the Doctor's wife, didn't realise that.
And do you know what? It only matters to pedants like you, because that was just a play on words.
It matters to a lot of people. It's not majorly important, but it's just slightly annoying. Irrannoying. Okay, no, that's a new word. Irrannoying.
Who can think of other episodes where the phone was, the phone section was opened up?
Good one. Good point.
I know.
Yes.
Legopolis?
Yes.
Yes. But it wasn't that phone. Well, in Legopolis, it was an ordinary black phone, if I remember rightly.
Well, it's regenerated a little.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yes, okay.
And what was Delta and the Bannerman.
Yes.
Really? I can't remember.
Absolutely, yeah, well done, yes. Cool.
Yes, it's
was that the two Americans, was it?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the one of the actors was actually American, so that wasn't too bad. But he was wearing a baseball cap at the age of about 70-odd.
He died, yeah.
If you've ever seen the musical film Guys and Dolls, he played Nicely Johnson.
Ah, right, okay. Anyway, the fact that the phone's ringing, the Doctor picks it up, and obviously there's a voice at the other end going, are you my mummy? And he's saying, well, this isn't a real phone. It's not wired up to anything. How can you speak to me and stuff? And, of course, just after that, the little girl.
Mommy.
Sorry, what we thought was a little girl.
Mummy.
Can I just make a point at this point?
You can make a point at this point.
Now, most people who have children.
Yes.
If the child continues to say the same thing, are you my mummy? Are you my mummy? Yes, I'm your freaking mummy. All right, now shut up.
Yeah, you would have thought that would have dawned on her somewhere along the line. But anyway, now what was the mum's name? Sorry, the little girl's name?
Nancy.
Nancy, thank you very much. It took long enough to go.
Fancy Nancy.
Just making sure people are paying attention.
Ah, can I make mention about that phone?
You can.
Is that the first use of Moffat doing a communication thing, like a remote?
This is his first story, so it would be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rose is still flying through the air on a barrage balloon, which can't be a barrage balloon because it's got rope instead of cable.
No, I didn't say it couldn't be a barrage
balloon. All right. Inaccurate.
Move on.
Oh, goodness. And wasn't the special effects shots of wartime London brilliant?
Yes, it was superb. And, of course, then we see Captain Jack for the first time because he's perving. I mean, looking through his binoculars at Rose's backside. And there is a homosexual reference, obviously, because he's flirting with a chap behind him whose name escapes me for the moment.
Started with E. Edward or something? I don't know.
I can't remember his name.
Come on, Kirby.
Doesn't matter. But anyway, Captain Jack then uses this sort of spaceshipy type thing to rescue Rose, doesn't he? Because I think he materialises or underneath her. That's a great scene, when she falls from the rope and then she's captured by some sort of weird tractor beam thing. Brilliantly done. And I just love all these shots, obviously computer generated shots of the barrage balloons and the spotlights.
The barrage balloon was real. Did you see the special features?
No.
They show you here on the Kirby wires.
Yeah, I have seen them in the past, but I didn't watch them on this occasion. But
she's on Kirby's
wires. I just remember them from before.
The character, this obviously is the first time we meet Captain Jack. Now, obviously, this Captain Jack character was created by RTD because he actually asked Moffat to write it. But Moffat actually created the character of Captain Jack.
No.
Yes. Moffat and obviously Barrowman, because Barrowman. What I'm going to say on this is very consistent in his portrayal of Jack.
Yeah.
The only difference is he hasn't been through. This is a very Jack in his early on in his timeline, so he hasn't been through a lot of the trauma that
the immortality,
that happened after that. But basically, he is the same, and I quite like that point.
Yes,
Yeah.
Ah. I've got
the officer, the British officer that Jack is flirting with, yes, is Algy.
Oh, that's it. Thank you. Algy. Who does appear later on in the story.
Can I ask somebody, you guys, something?
Yes.
Captain Jack's hair. Yep. Captain Jack's hair in here.
Yes.
Is relatively short and lacquered down, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, when he got together with Tennant, do you think they were trying to compete with their hair?
Probably.
Because Tennant's hair got more and more spikier, didn't it? And Captain Jack's hair got longer and spikier.
Yeah, but in the next episode, Captain Jack's hair's up, sticking up and spiky, isn't it? So he did change it anyway.
This is right after he's taken the name Jack Harkness from the real Jack Harkness.
Yeah, and that's another interesting plot point in comparison to that episode of Torchwood called Captain Jack Harkness, isn't it? I think that's the one you're referring to where he meets Captain Jack Harkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real one.
That's a really good episode.
Oh, it's fantastic. That first series of Torchwood got so many really... I mean, I don't want to talk about Torchwood too much now, but that first series of Torchwood is fantastic. So, so we meet Captain Jack. He's very, very, like the Jack we know now, slightly more cheerful and slightly more interested in women, but hey-ho, he does... He clearly has a thing for Gwen anyway, the Captain Jack we know now, but more...
He's interested in everybody.
Yeah. Especially in Doctor Who. In Torchwood, he's more interested in blokes, I think. But in Doctor Who, he's very, very omnisexual, isn't he? Meanwhile, the Doctor...
He's just sexual.
The Doctor has... because all the adults have gone down the air raid shelter, Nancy has got a troop of children that she's arranged and nicked the dinners off everybody's dinner tables. I presume this must have happened because Moffat is supposed to be some sort of expert on wartime things, isn't he? He knows a lot about. He's very good at setting things in wartime. If you know,
he's a Time Lord. He remembers.
Tintin was set in wartime, wasn't he? And he knows quite a lot about that. You got this episode.
Oh, wasn't that a good film?
I'm not
that
talking
was
about.
Really
that.
Good.
I haven't seen it.
Which one?
No.
Which one?
Tintin.
I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to watch it too. I was in hospital, I missed out. Okay.
Anyway, like I say, that was set in wartime, and also the Let's Kill Hitler was set in wartime. The Doctor shows the people this little dinner party that a picture, a very awful drawing of the objects he's trying to find that's fallen through space.
I know.
It's the worst scribbled thing, and how are they supposed to recognise it from that scribbling that he's done? It's just terrible.
He should have used his psychic paper.
Yes. Meanwhile, there's a little boy in a gas mask that appears at the window.
Hey, you missed a lot of funny lines.
Well, I did do, because you were talking. Go on, tell me about the funny lines.
No, when the kids are eating, he says, what's a copper going to... You know, when they accuse him of being a cop, and he says, what's a copper going to do? Arrest you for starving? And,
we obviously thought that was hilarious.
And when he says, I want to find a blonde in a Union Jack, he says, a specific one. I didn't just wake up this morning with a craving.
Anyway, so there's clearly they're scared of this chap, lad with the gas mask. So all the kids get hurried out of the house. The Doctor's sort of not so scared of. He's more intrigued with the lad with the gas mask, isn't he? And this little hand comes through the letterbox, and Nancy says, "Don't touch him."
Oh,
bloody, bloody!
Did you see what was on the letterbox flap?
Don't forget your gas mask.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well done.
Which was going to be a TV program hosted by Chris Evans, but he changed the name of it.
Then the phone rings.
Don't forget your toothbrush.
Now the phone rings, and of course,
is that it?
Nancy knows that if you pick the phone up, it's going to say him saying, "Are you my mummy?" Did you notice with all these things that there was a lot of Batman shots with the camera at
sort of
skew-if angles? Did you notice
this
at all?
Up the side of a building.
What?
It's because of the kid,
No, the funny camera angles where they turn the camera to one side.
No, it was to make the kid look a bit weird.
But it wasn't the kid in shot, it was the Doctor looking out through the letterbox.
Speaking of Bob,
they show you the outline silhouette.
Yes, they do, Dan.
Speaking of bombs, there's an excellent 1979 ITV series called Danger UXB.
Yes.
Yes, and that's
worth seeing.
Wendy Pepper was in that.
Deborah Watling was in it.
Watling. I knew it was one of them.
I know Deborah Watling was in a film called That'll Be the Day with Ringo Starr and David Essex, where you got to see her bazookas.
Ah.
So then we could have Deborah's Norks. I'm surprised.
What was that noise?
Who's that shouting?
That's my wife.
Oh, it's all right then. I thought it was Rachel getting cross.
You need to go to dinner.
What, from work?
Yes, I was saying, it would have been rather remarkable.
Wow.
Anyway, the little nipper, right? When he's poked his hand through the letterbox for the second time, you see the V-shaped cut on the back of his hand.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the first time we get to see that. Meanwhile, that we have the sort of flirty scene between Rose, who I always thought at the time that her sort of fancying Captain Jack and vice versa didn't quite sit right because he seemed a bit old for her. It just didn't.
And notice that Captain Jack also has psychic paper.
Yes, but there was quite a lot of things
he never uses again.
He's got his little wrist watch traveling doodah thingamajig, isn't he?
He doesn't use the wrist thing to.
No, but we knew it wasn't only for that, was it? He uses it because in the last series of Torchwood, he used it for something other than traveling in time, didn't it? I can't remember what else he
used. Does it have his watch on it?
It probably has as well. Probably has various.
It doesn't things look on. Like the same wrist thing.
I didn't get a close enough look at it.
I thought that's not very pedantic.
That's unusual, isn't it? Anyway,
I thought the doctor gave Rose the psychic paper, and then she showed Captain Jack, and then he took it off her.
Oh, did he?
No.
That's what I remember.
That's what you remember. You may be right.
Yes.
Okay.
They handed it back. Remember?
But Pedant Kirby's going to correct me.
Yes, maybe so.
I'm running it forward to that scene. He already had it.
But anyway, this is where
when she gets it back, she's saying something like, and this says single and whatever, totally available, whatever, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. It shows him what she's thinking. But she says to, hang on.
Just to who?
Well, while you're trying to find this one out, this conversation.
He pulls it out of his pocket.
Does
Ooh.
I wouldn't put it past him,
and,
to be honest
and
with you.
She says, liar, this is psychic.
What are you watching?
Whatever you want to tell me.
Thank you very much. But this is a point where we see the nano gene things for the first time. Nick's from Star Trek, because obviously the first time we actually see these nano things is in Star Trek The Next Generation.
And they look like the regeneration effect a bit, don't they?
Yeah, but I like the bit where they climb out of the spaceship and they're standing in midair.
Climb out.
Which reminded me, there was a film about this little boy who was in a spaceship, and the spaceship was basically completely mirror all the way around, completely reflective, and that looked really
good. Yes, it had the voice of...
The voice of...
Is that Flight of the...
That's an interesting name. Eh?
It was. I guessed it.
Yeah.
Who do you say it was? Not da 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 da.
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, Flight of the Navigator. That's it. But is that why you went da 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 da? Because the same syllables as Flight of the Navigator.
The name of the actor that would have been.
Oh, we'll come back to that anyway because it's slightly.
Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens.
Ah, thank you very much.
Was
anyway,
the guy who did Ernest?
No. Pee Wee Herman.
Okay.
Pee Wee Herman.
Yes. Back to the empty child. The doctor rather strangely follows Nancy, which of course, in most circumstances, would sort of culminate in his arrest and being charged
with
ban
alert.
Yes, with various things. Yeah, he's asking her about this thing he's looking for, which, of course, is the...
Hey, you missed something funny there.
I'm not surprised. What did I miss that was funny?
Have you got to the doctor back when he meets her at her place?
Meets Nancy?
No, when she's at her place, you know, where she...
Oh, well, she's got a little stash of food, and the doctor's followed her.
Yeah. And he's talking about his nose having special powers. And then she says, do your ears have special powers too? Obviously alluding to his big ears and his big nose.
Yeah, I did miss that
one. I
thought
that was very funny.
The bit they also cut out was the bit where Rose and Captain Jack were talking. And Rose said, oh, I will leave that there.
Yeah.
Thank you. The doctor's they're observing. He's found the landing place, hasn't he? Basically, of this or where it's crashed, because they're in that area where that ambulance, as he calls it, crashed. But he's looking
He doesn't know it's an ambulance yet. It's Captain Jack who.
Because he's doing some dodgy deal, isn't he? Basically, Captain Jack
Jack to do something dodgy.
Yeah, because he was a real.
He's talking to Rose, saying it's a fully equipped Tula spaceship, last one in existence, armed to the teeth.
Yes, yes. But that's what I'm saying, that Jack in this episode is very much the, out for himself.
So why where they got the name Tula?
No.
Yeah, it was the person who was the judge on the X Factor last year.
No, there was a restaurant where the writers discussed all...
Don't worry about magic growling.
I thought that was
story planning kind of thing.
Where the writers all discussed future shows they were all going to write called Tula.
Writers meeting.
Oh.
Yeah. And in fact, there's an extra on one of the DVDs about these meetings.
Oh, cool.
I have to say, when I first saw this when I was 11, I thought they were saying tuna.
Anyway, right. So
fully equipped tuna spaceship.
Basically, the doctor ends up. I can't remember how he ends up there. At the Albion Hospital.
The hospital.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I think some information he got off Nancy that directed him to the Albion Hospital where he meets.
Go see the doctor.
Where he meets Victor Meldrew. Richard Wilson.
I saw he was in this, I said, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
It's interesting how that hospital looks exactly like the hospital where the pig was.
Yeah. Same one.
Slovene. Yes.
Cool.
Deliberately.
Really?
Oh, does it matter?
Yes.
But anyway, this is the scene.
It's the Cardiff Royal Infirmary.
Indeedy. But this is the scene where... He tells the doctor about all the other patients that you just have to touch them and you're sort of changed into them, basically. And of course, when I remembered watching this, I thought that Richard Wilson was in this episode as himself for a lot longer, but it's only one scene he seems, and he changes into one of them, doesn't he?
It's also at the end.
I know, yeah, but that's not a lot, is it?
He's walking around a lot with
because he's in every single episode of Merlin.
I've never
he's
seen
lovely Merlin.
Merlin, superb. What a great series.
Who does he play in Merlin?
Gaius, yeah. Okay. And then Rose.
Mental.
But Rose and Jack are also heading for the Albion Hospital and meet up with the doctor there. And of course, I think the rapport between the three characters works really well, especially Jack and the doctor, or Jack and Eccleston's doctor. Which is, at the time. I was quite looking forward to it continuing, and it did for a little while, obviously.
Yeah.
They really did have a good good rapport. I thought that it didn't ring right that Rose would have some sort of interest in Jack,
It's probably just that instant, John Barrowman's apparently quite good-looking kind of interest.
But then again...
She fancies the doctor, though, doesn't she?
Not this doctor. No, I never got the impression she fancied this doctor.
No, but later on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I got the impression that Tennant's doctor looks younger than Eccleston's doctor.
She's just a massive flirt.
Of course, then...
that's Jack.
When Jack and the doctor are arguing about what Jack's sort of part of this is, Jack uses his little wrist thingamajig to project a little image of
Does he indeed?
Pardon? Yeah, to project an image of the ambulance doodah, and then he explains what it is and his part in it, and he admits to being a con man, basically. Now, jumping ahead? What do you mean jumping ahead?
Yeah, there's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Spock.
I know,
Says, don't you ever get tired of Doctor, and that's when the Doctor Who...
Yes, I know. There's a reference to saying Doctor Who somewhere in a series of Doctor Who. Tend to get a bit tedious. But anyway.
Sycophantic.
Yes. But
same to you.
Of course, I think this is we're coming up to a bit where they get. Thank you. sort of held a little bit under siege by these creatures, or if you can call them creatures, people, or gas masks, people. I don't know what
we have. Those gas masks are historically inaccurate.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yes, they are. God.
Meanwhile,
they are
Nancy, at the end of this.
Sorry. And weren't they just called respirators as well? Not.
Maybe so. Masks? But Nancy was. Who had a chance to end the whole thing, obviously, at the end of episode one, because the little kid, Jamie's actually in there with her saying, "Are you my mummy?" And she could have said yes and given him a hug.
Yes, I bloody am!
But no, she tries to get away from him.
No, and she couldn't. Even if she hugged him then, it wouldn't have worked because the nanogene.
Oh, the nanogene's good point, good point. Yeah, sorry. Good point. So she's sort of like singled.
And it was a two-parter as well.
Yeah,
so.
And then they come up to the big cliffhanger. The big cliffhanger, and basically that's...
another resolution.
Are you my mummy?
Did you? I thought the cliffhanger was great.
Yes.
You had all these people, you know, getting closer to the doctor. And then he gets out of it by saying, "Go to your room, you've been a very naughty boy." Yeah. And I remember feeling very disappointed during as it played out. And then I was equally as disappointed as I was watching it this morning. 3 o'clock, by the way.
But you know what? Ooh. I love what he said afterwards. He says, "I'm glad that would be terrible last words."
Yeah,
that brought it back a little bit for me, the way he got out, the way he got out of it.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, with this go to your room, at least there was a bit, they did call back to it later on in episode two when they get into this room and the doctor realises this is the room that he's been sent to.
I'm not denying it worked in the plot. I was just saying it was a
resolution.
Get out of a really good cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, but there have been worse ways that they've got out.
They do that a lot, though.
I mean, the only way they could have made it any worse was if Bobby Ewing came out of the shower. Which is better than coming in the shower. No, I'll stop there.
God's sake.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, and so that the bit I just referred to was obviously the bit that comes up next where he realises that they are actually in the room that he's been sent to. And there's a tape. Reel of,
that was brilliant. That
which was just still just rattling around and still saying, "Mummy, are you my mummy?"
Ooh, it just occurred to me to get pedantic. I need to check something.
Do you? okay. But
I've been quiet for a few minutes. I thought you were
by this stage, having watched it originally, I was starting to get bored of the "Are you my mummy" part of it. Whereas Alicia was starting to get completely and utterly freaked
she
out. In fact, no, she didn't.
Did she watch it?
No, she didn't. I mean, that's at the time, I'm surprised she did watch episode two, bearing in mind how scared she is of it now, you know. So after all this sort of stuff going on, we get some brilliant scenes with the squareness gun, which I loved. And we have that brilliant scene about the "I've got a Sonic." Well, it's Sonic anyway. And it's like, Sonic what?
Sonic
cannon. You know? Yeah.
What have you got?
Yeah.
He says, "Don't worry, I'm all Sonic Dad."
Yeah.
Screwdriver!
Did you miss? Do you remember when Jack gets out the banana instead of the gun?
Yes, yeah.
And he says, and later on he says, "I have a banana, and in a pinch you can put up some shelves."
Yes.
Well, this is also this episode, if I remember rightly, also the first time we see Jack in his long coat, basically this coat that he's very well known for, and he does look really good in the long coat. But of course, he's pointing the gun thing at the typical Jack way, you know, with his shoulders up and he's sort of pointing it in all sorts of different. And that's the scene where we get the Sonic argument. Doesn't Rose point the squareness gun to the ground and they fall through and then points it back up to the ceiling and it seals back up again? I love that gun. I'm just so disappointed that they never brought it back for any more episodes. Really.
Because the battery ran out. And they probably couldn't get another battery because the doctor destroyed the thing and put up a banana plantation.
But it did always recharge mobile phones.
And do you remember when... Sorry.
No, you carry on. I was only talking.
what I was checking on was I was thinking possibly that the magnetic tape recording technology was a little early, but yes, it did, but it was kind of early.
Good. Well, I'm glad that.
How did they record Churchill's speech then?
Exactly. Wire. wire recordings.
Cool. Anyway, right.
Wire?
Never mind about the wire. That's another episode. That's from next series of Doctor Who.
Do you remember when the Doctor says, don't drop the banana? And Jack says, why? Doug says, good source of potassium.
Yeah. Anyway, at this point, Jack returns to his spaceship and Rose and the Doctor, sort of, they go their separate ways. And we hear a lot of Glenn Miller music for the rest of this episode, which actually is very atmospheric. Moonlight Sonata, I think it's called.
Yeah. Or Serenade. Whatever it is.
Serenade. Moonlight Serenade. Yeah.
And did you get the scene with Nancy and Mr. Lloyd when she's asking wire cutters?
That's a little later on.
No, it's a bit earlier on.
That was before they.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And what she asked about? What was about specifically about the wire cutters?
No, because she's asking for the wire cutters when they break in. But anyway, Nancy was saying half the street thinks your missus must be messing that with Mr. Haverstock the Butcher. But she's not, is she? You are.
Ooh. that was a big clue then.
A bit of meat there.
Yes. Big clue as to, her, as we find out later on, having had a child, given birth to a child at a very young age. So obviously Mr. Haverstock the Butcher is a complete and utter pervert. Nancy gets caught basically as she tries to break into this area. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Rose and Jack are in Jack's spaceship, but of course she notices the scratch on her detainee's hand and realizes that she's in danger again because and of course we meet Jack's boyfriend again in this scene. Just to give him something else to do in the story.
He's temporary.
Maybe one night stand may be more appropriate.
Yes. All right, one night stand then.
Temporary boyfriend.
But then again, if Captain Jack had got together with the bloke who owned the house who they stole all the food from, you'd have a much easier, nicer story, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, true.
So he'd have plenty of mate.
Of course, Jack, her Doctor, and Rose head to the same area that Nancy's at. And then, I don't know, Jack starts to feel a bit guilty, doesn't he? And he decides he must try and put things right.
Did anybody notice that other Star Trek reference as well?
Go on then.
When Rose says, we seek new life and...
new civilizations. Well done. Obviously, Moffat is a huge Star Trek fan. Do you reckon if the Paramount came up to him and said, Stephen, we'd like you to leave Doctor Who and do a brand new series of Star Trek, do you reckon he'd take up that offer?
I hope he would.
Do you reckon if anyone came up to him and said, hey, we'd like you to write a Tintin movie, and he would take him up on?
Do you reckon if anyone said, would you like to write Sherlock, he might go and do that as well?
Yeah, as long as I can... And Ben would say, this is what Ben would say. He would do an impression of Stephen Moffat saying, as long as I can ruin Doctor Who at the same time, yes.
Yes, and not pay attention to one or the other, then get confused with my own plot lines,
right, let's
and end
talk.
Up going backwards, rewriting everything, rewriting time three times, and then finally deciding that maybe, just maybe, this story's good enough to throw out on BBC TV, when it's clearly not.
Right, I want to talk, before we forget, what do you think of the transformation effect, from the face into the gas mask people?
I liked it
at the time.
Really gross.
It is gross. And notice, obviously, they say that the DVD version has cracking, sort of bone cracking sound effects, the one that the TV didn't. Apparently I didn't really know.
They didn't actually cut that here.
I didn't really notice the difference, to be honest with you.
It looked good until the piece came out of the mouth, and then it's, at that point, it was like, how does that fit out of the... Oh, CGI, I guess.
Anyway, the Doctor and Rose and Jack rescued...
Did you record the show when it was first on?
I did.
Compare them?
No, I didn't compare them. Didn't compare them, no. So if anybody out there wants to try and compare them and still has a recording of the original show that went out, I do have the recording somewhere because I gave them to Alicia.
I do.
But I haven't compared them, though, and I don't really feel the need to compare it, to be honest with you. But... the Doctor, Rose, and Jack rescue Nancy from her predicament with the thingy. But something happens. Something sets off, and they
sonic screwdriver again to open a lock.
Yeah,
but she's singing "Rockabye Baby."
That's right. Yeah, to keep herself.
Because it's like the kids.
Yeah, but that implies that she knew that everybody was connected to Jamie.
Yep.
But I don't know. Something isn't there a panel on the side of the ambulance doodah thing that they press and it sets all the sort of zombified gas mark people all wake up.
Oh yeah, because an alarm signal went out or something.
Yeah. So they all wake
and
up.
They're getting ready for battle.
And they stand at a distance until Jamie comes.
Ah, yes. But also, we see Rose using a sonic screwdriver to melt through barbed wire. Or, sorry, to join barbed wire back up again.
Did you hear what the doctor says? Use setting number something to 851 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And this is where Rose tells Nancy that Britain wins the war.
Three nil after extra time.
Yeah. I think she's actually fixing the barbed wire, drawing it back together again. Yeah, and the doctor's standing there with his arms folded, looking at Jack in an accusing way, making Jack realise that it's all his fault, basically, that all this is happening.
Naughty Jack.
Yes. He got really annoyed really quickly, didn't he, at that point?
Yes.
Well, he's kind of like sitting there working out in his head what had gone on, and as he was kind of like working out what had gone on, he started getting really narky with Captain Jack.
But I just love Jack, the expression on Jack's face.
Before getting this curse or whatever was like from touching.
Yes.
With Jack's boyfriend, it had started going airborne because
inside. Yeah.
So that's what he was getting worried about because now it started to spread through the air.
Yeah.
So that's what really irked him, I guess.
Yeah,
ever seen Captain Jack in Torchwood or Doctor Who crack onto any other ladies apart from Rose?
Just Gwen.
The Trini and Susanna, the robots in Parting of the Ways, he actually touches one of their...
But Utopia, there was that blue Chula, whatever name.
Oh, yes.
What was that girl's name? Not Chula.
Chanto.
Yeah.
Chanto, that's it, yeah. I just love that, way that Tennant's doctor goes, Jack!
Yes.
Oh, I'm Jack.
Anyway, back to this episode.
At the Doctor Who convention I went to last year, someone had did some cosplay as the nurse with the gas mask.
Oh, cool.
It was excellent.
Oh, excellent.
Not Constantine.
I'd love to go to an American convention.
Did she say, were you my mummy?
See, if I went to an American convention, I'd just get the whole collection of those T-shirts we were talking about last week.
Oh, I nearly bought one this week. I had it on the internet.
You know, those T-shirts are really cool.
They are.
I was going to get the Fifth Doctor one, but then I decided I better save the little bit of money I have for things like food and rent and stuff.
PS3 games.
Yeah, meanwhile, obviously,
I'll get them for my birthday.
All the zombified gas mask people have turned up at the site. And this scene, right? You know, people talk about things after Jack goes off, but I'm talking about people talk about scenes in Doctor Who that bring a lump to your throat or make you feel emotional. We talked about this last week in Father's Day, the scene where she goes, "But you're my daddy." It's exactly the same thing, completely flipped round in this episode.
Yes. When, you're my mummy.
Yeah. Yes, I am your mummy, and she throws her arms around, and that's what brought tears to my eyes. Is when she went on her knees and she threw her arms around him and all the nano. It was beautiful, and that actually I felt more emotional looking at that bit than I did the equivalent scene in the previous episode.
I didn't.
Well, only because it's written by Stephen Moffat.
No, it wasn't half as good.
Well, maybe not. But I don't know. I didn't feel emotional.
I liked it.
I did generally have a twang of emotion on that one.
Okay,
maybe I'm more maternally minded. I don't know.
Let's have a text vote to find out who prefers the emotional scene in Father's Day to the emotional scene in The Doctor Dances. Text your answers now. 8748.
We are allowed to like them both.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Yep, we are. No, you're not.
I like them both, but
this is brilliant when the Doctor works out has a one-on-one scene with Nancy, and he sort of
is that the 18 version again? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Shush, and sort of basically works out that she's Jamie's mother, and it's so nice, isn't it? And then he realises the nanogenes have worked out that she's his mother, and.
How very convenient.
Yeah, I know. And then takes off the gas mask. And everybody lives!
Just this just one.
That little boy looks very familiar.
Don't say that. Kirby will get pedantic.
But the little boy, there's something familiar about him. I'm sure I've seen him in something else. In his older self. Then Jack comes along and
I was texting my wife. Sorry.
Thank you for that. But that Jack comes along and he's riding. He's actually on this.
The bomb.
Yeah, on the bomb. Yeah.
He's doing what? Say something like the German equivalent of Bad Wolf.
Did he?
Spelt it wrong as well.
Oh.
I don't know.
But you can't. I don't think you can actually see it on the DVD though. I couldn't. But I know there's still pictures of it. And you can see it.
And I say the music at that point is actually the strings from the theme tune. The
I love the music in this.
Mm. Yeah, this is what looks like the Doctor's starting to regenerate because he gets all these nano things in his hand. He's got his arms out.
But we hadn't seen the regeneration effect.
Afterwards, it did look like it.
I thought that looked a bit cheesy, though, that scene where he just pushes all the stuff towards them, like some sort of just magical power.
So, why haven't they got tainted by Time Lord DNA, then? If they're sort of DNA, if they got some sort of in-tuneness with DNA.
Because they're not related. I think it was because
I think they would have got confused somewhere along the line. But it doesn't matter, though. That's just a plot element that Stephen Moffat forgot about. Hey, Ben.
Left hanging. And what about the, when Mrs. Harcourt comes up to Dr. Constantine saying, my leg's grown back.
Yes! That was good.
And he says,
there is a war. There
is a war on you now.
Yeah, that was really, I enjoyed that.
I bet that line wasn't written by Stephen Moffat.
Improvised.
So obviously, everything's all right. Jack has got the bomb and he's got it in stasis, but it won't stay in stasis long. So is it just about to blow up? Meanwhile, the Doctor and Rose are dancing to another Glenn Miller song. In the TARDIS. While they rescue Jack, don't they, from his predicament.
Yeah. You know what reminded me of something? Because I just recently watched The Sensorites.
You were sent
No, you know how they show you from... I think they show you Jack and they draw back so that you see that the TARDIS has landed, right?
Yes.
And in The Sensorites, because they had the TARDIS set joined onto the spaceship set, they actually had a shot of the companions going out of the TARDIS into this spaceship and the camera followed them through. And I thought, they did it as far back as then, that kind of shot.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a deliberate visual nod for fans, that sort of stuff.
Homage. Yeah.
Well, I don't think with The Sensorites, so.
I have to step away for a second and grab something. Okay.
There we go. That is basically the Doctor dances done and dusted. I haven't watched this for a while because I haven't really been allowed to because Alicia's been around. So that night I watched it. She was in her room. She's scared of it. She's got it in her mind. She's scared of it. And that's that. It isn't that bad.
Can I ask you guys something?
No.
No.
Please. Go on.
Okay. Is please, dancing please. A euphemism for something?
Yeah, sometimes. Parking is apparently.
In what way in this story, though?
No idea. But parking in the Back to the Future
film. Well, we know the Doctor does dance. Was a euphemism for something. When he's David Tennant.
Yeah. I can't be 100% sure, Robert, but I presume it is a euphemism for something.
No, because he mentioned something about dancing at the end.
Yeah, he did. They got a bit dirty, didn't they?
Yes.
Down.
So, all right, now I'm going to ask, first of all, did you actually watch this episode, or did you just go...
I watched it at 3 o'clock this morning.
Stephen Moffat apart, right, what do you feel about the story? Remembering how you watched it when you watched it first time round, and obviously knowing what's happened since.
Before the great Moffat decided to become head writer, this was a great, good couple of episodes. Really well written. Nice to see, a couple of famous people in there, like Richard Wilson, and the acting was brilliant. I did enjoy it, but the one thing I have just found, which I am going to have to mention, which I have just found on Wikipedia, is this. I shall read you the whole thing.
Oh, good, go on then.
The working title for this story was Captain Jacks. In the DVD commentary of this episode, writer Stephen Moffat, I believe that's how it's said, reveals up until a very late stage, the nanogenes in this story were called nanites. However, script editor Helen Rayner decided this name sounded too much like the similar nanotechnological devices in Star Trek The Next Generation. Moffat had first used the line, life is just nature's way of keeping just nature's way of keeping meat fresh, in the second series of his 1990 sitcom Joking Apart. He reused it here.
In Torchwood as well.
And he thought it was a good line. So well, therefore, there you go. Stephen Moffat reuses everything he thinks is any good.
But it's true. It's true.
I'm pretty sure that line was used not by Moffat, but by RTD in the second series of Torchwood episode with a great big meat. Was it called Meat at the series? I think it was.
Was that called Countryside?
But that is true. They may well have been using that. But I was thinking more of the episode Meat. I think it was called the great big lump of meat creature which they were harvesting.
Countryside is the only episode of Torchwood I never watched all the way through. It was just too
disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah. I have watched it through, but it is awful. But brilliant. Awful in a
really. I love that episode.
No, not awful as in bad episode. It's just very difficult to watch because of its content.
That's why I can't watch it.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. It's very scary. Because it's so brilliantly written. It's called Countryside.
I remember the meat creature one.
Yeah, they're
just cutting off meat.
Yeah,
Jack
again. Yeah. No, the Countryside episode was the...
Was the meat one the same kind of cosmic whale as was in...
Yeah, not, I don't think it's maybe it was a different breed of whale, but the same sort of idea. In the Countryside, it was basically about cannibalism, wasn't it?
Round. I wonder if it will be friends with me.
Yeah. Brilliant episode. Very scary. I've only watched it twice.
Somebody left the tripod and another job when it came to Countryside.
Good grief. Anyway, Ben, did you get around to finishing what you were saying about?
I don't think he did.
Yes.
He did, right. So, Kirby, what did you think? Oh, no, I'm not going to... We'll have Kirby, you can think about it a bit longer because you've still got the answer to the previous question I asked you about to do with James' feedback. Robert, what did you think?
I loved it, and I remember when I first watched it, I thought very, very creepy. But when you know what happens, it's less so. But yeah, I thought it was very well written and well acted, and
rather shows how consistent this series is, isn't it? This is the last thing I'm going to say on the series and season matter because I'm tedious about it. But yes, I just wanted to point out that Reese was mentioning during the Matt Smith interview that Matt Smith used the term series. I don't care what Matt says.
No,
people can use
it. Matt season. Smith used the term
he used the right
season.
Way.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, season. I beg your pardon. Yeah. He did use that term.
No, he's got it wrong.
It doesn't matter.
The only reason he said that is because Stephen Moffat wrote it for him.
No, he's being interviewed on his own.
No, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, right. Okay. I just wanted to point out that you were trying to highlight that, Reese. So I've done that for you.
Yes.
Kirby, what did you think?
I always loved this particular story. Even the first time I saw it, it's perfect Doctor Who. It was absolutely necessary to make to get the show popular. It was just. I really wish that we had had the Ninth Doctor longer because he was a great doctor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, again, I think this story illustrates how brilliant the BBC and the Doctor Who production team are at creating period sceneries and stuff.
Yes.
Really, really good. And they're continuing that with Upstairs, Downstairs and other dramas.
No, they're not. Upstairs, Downstairs is crap.
No, I'm talking about the scenery, not the actual writing for it.
Moffat writing that.
No, he isn't actually. No, Reese, what did you think? What did I ask you, Kirby? Sorry, yeah, you loved it. Yeah, Reese, what do you think?
I think it's certainly Stephen Moffat's best story, which. It's been downhill since then, you could say, or maybe because it's such a good story.
But
he just
only because you're on that small group of people who doesn't like Blink. You and Ben are perfectly entitled not to like Blink, but I love
Blink. It's a cool episode.
You like Blink?
Yeah. Okay. Don't tar me with
I just thought you didn't like
Blink. No, I hate Stephen Moffat's stories in the early part of Doctor Who were all very good. It's only when he's taken over and he's just got so muddled up in his own mind.
Since he's become showrunner, basically.
Yeah, he just tries to do too much, does it badly. Basically.
Okay.
Silence in the Library and Forest of the Dead are fantastic.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Right,
at the end of the day, he's writing so many shows at the moment that you just try and, you know. If you're trying to eat, play on the computer, and also hold a conversation at the same time, something's going to suffer. You know, you won't be able to eat because you're talking, etc. And so that's a very good analogy. I like that.
Yeah, but the what your point you're trying to make does shine a little bit of hope onto Series 7, because I don't think he's doing anything else other than Doctor Who. Although he would have been writing Doctor Who while producing Sherlock, perhaps, I don't know.
Now,
but there are other writers involved in the new series of Doctor Who coming up in the autumn.
Also, it doesn't matter how many shows you're involved in, because Russell T Davies did a great job, and he was doing Torchwood, Doctor Who, and the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Fair enough, but they were all Doctor Who related.
Yeah, but they were all very good as well.
And they're all different shows.
Okay. Yeah, very
good. Can I mention something about reusing ideas?
You can.
You know, of course. You know the writer,
it's something we've said before.
Well, you know the writer Victor Pemberton?
I've heard of him.
Who wrote, well, he was script editor for, I don't know, a couple of stories. I think he script edited Tomb of the Sidemen.
Yeah.
But by the way, anyway. But he wrote Fury from the Deep, which I just finished reading the other night. But that's very much based on his earlier radio play, The Slide, which had a sentient type of mud creature, and this, you know, and it also had a heartbeat effect, whereas Fury from the Deep had a heartbeat effect and also had like a sentient seaweed. But also, he also did the Pescatons with the Fourth Doctor and Sarah Jane, which featured a sea creature as well. So he reused a lot of ideas as well.
Yeah.
And a lot. Before
well, somebody said, I was listening to something this morning, one of the podcasts, in which they illustrated that Kaiser Vandrazani was actually Robert Holmes combining two of his previous Doctor Who scripts together to create a new story.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Skits.
and you know what, something else that Stephen Moffat did with this episode? Do you remember the Dave Martin, Bob Baker episodes? They'd always have something like Eldred Must Live or... the Invisible Enemy. What did they say when they got possessed?
Something on that line, wasn't it?
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I've seen that.
But you know how
Andre
that...
Andre Tessier's online.
Contact has been made.
And then in Underworld they had the Quest is the Quest. And it's almost like Are You My Mummy is the Bob Baker, Dave Martin thing of this episode. Because when you remember these episodes, I always think of you. Are you my mummy?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Sorry, Robert.
However,
Jim,
I am.
Stop asking that.
Ben!
You know, I've just seen Andre Tessier. I've just seen Andre Tessier just come online. You know, I've always had the temptation to cold call another podcaster, but not
me. Go for it.
He's in America. That's quite early in America. Let's see what time. Yeah. Oh, 7:46 a.m. He is in Mineola, New York, United States, wherever
that is.
So very, very good story, this one. Again, we have to continue how brilliant this series is. Well, you know what I'm going to find particularly interesting? When we move into the next series, watching it like this, we really can assess as to whether the series continued in the same vein, you know, because this was very, very, very strong, this series. There's no real proper duffers.
But you know what?
Except for
back in then,
except for the
back
the
in that time.
Yeah, the Savine. That was quite good, Kirby.
Yeah. It was only the Savine.
The actual characters themselves. Had been the only Savine story ever, you wouldn't have sort of been too bothered by it, would you?
The next story that we're about to see is a really good story.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It's a better Slovene story than the first one.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the issue that people have is that with the sorry,
it's Bruce Forsyth, ladies and gentlemen. So Bruce,
the only problem we've got with this Slovene is the scores on the doors, Miss Slovene.
If you're tripping over the word Slovene, call them Raxicorical Palpatorius.
Oh, don't stop.
I'll try that next time.
I can't even say it.
Raxicorical Palpatorius, bollocks.
The only problem with them is that they're so aimed towards children. They were baddies, aliens for kids, weren't they? Just gone into Sarah Jane Adventures, which was for kids, then that would have been
all
right.
Did have a episode with the Solicitor.
They did. Yeah, they had a couple. But yeah. But certainly, you know, they were too childish to make the story, you know, a good, solid, proper story, if you see what I mean. If you've took the Slitheen out of them, if you made them a proper alien instead of someone who dressed up in a fart suit, I mean, that's just like the most childish, basic form of, humour you can get, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, as I say, they were just aimed at kids, which was understandable because obviously they were trying to capture the kids' market in a brand new TV series for them. So, you know, I can see why they did it. I just didn't appreciate it.
No, that's fair enough. Right. On Facebook, I did post a YouTube video of magic. Did anyone get to see it?
Since we referenced it about an hour ago, yes, we saw it.
I'm sorry, I didn't. I must have been doing something else at that particular point.
I didn't watch it.
Listeners, come on, go to our 20 Megabyte Podcast YouTube channel and have a look at the videos on there. Because
I don't like animals.
A couple of us were saying things about, come on, come up on the sofa.
It's funny. I just love it. What gets me right, there's a myth that Shih Tzus can't jump on sofas, right? Or jump up. Pardon?
You told us off for swearing.
Oh, stop it.
Will
you stop interrupting? There's a myth. There is a genuine myth. You go on YouTube, there is a myth that says Shih Tzus can't jump up or jump up full stop. They can't jump upstairs or anything. So there is magic trying to... you stop interrupting? There's magic trying to get up on the settee and eventually does it. And then in one go, Star leaps over and lands on there as well without any...
hold on a
trouble.
Minute. If you're talking about things that dogs that can't go upstairs, why don't you just call them Daleks?
But they can now.
They can now, but not in the '80s.
Adam,
yes,
can I ask in remembrance of the Daleks?
You certainly can ask me something. Yes,
and Davros and Davros and that in Revelation of the Daleks, and also when that glass Dalek is appearing, you also see a Dalek floating in the sky.
Is that what you was that what you're going to ask me?
No.
Yeah, oh, right, but generally, the Daleks couldn't use to go upstairs.
Generally, yes. Right. Okay. Yes, Robert, you were going to ask me something?
When I'm looking up the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast,
yes,
it says whitebay.com. Four people like this.
Yeah, I think it's because I've put an advert for the podcast on White Bay. It's a free advert, so anybody on the Isle of Wight that might do a Doctor Who search will come up with our podcast and might just listen in. We have two Isle of Wight listeners, one regular Isle of Wight listener. Hello, Dan. That's Daniel Van Kylenberg.
That's half the population, isn't it?
No, we have over 100,000 residents on the Isle of Wight. Thank you very much. Have all of you got access to one of those gadgets, a mobile phone with a camera on it?
Yes.
Because what I thought would be quite good fun is if we all, at this present moment, took a picture of ourselves with our mobile phones and then posted it onto the Facebook group.
How come I don't have time myself with a mobile? Because I'll be taking a picture of it. So I can't take a picture of myself.
I don't have time. I have to get out of here. And,
Kirby!
And I can't do it on my phone because it's not connected to the internet.
No, that's
yeah, I'd have to go. I could take a picture like that, but I'd have to go through various hoops to get it onto the internet because I don't have a data plan.
Okay,
Commander data.
We'll, I'll tell you what. instead of taking a picture of me, I'll take a picture of my slippers.
Hey, Commander.
Pardon? Did you call me Commander?
Data Commander. No, is Data a commander? I did not know that.
Yes, he is a commander. Yes, he is. Anyway, right then. So, listeners, if you'd like to stop interrupting my links.
Well,
I have one more.
Go on, Ben.
Sorry,
yes, folks. Please. Yes.
I have one more important thing to say before we go. Shut up, Bruce. Great comeback. Brilliant.
Shut up.
Yeah, man. Got to use Stephen Moffat for that writing. Just copy
I've got a text from him,
there.
That's all.
From Stephen Moffat?
Yeah, telling me to tell you to shut up. I just translated it for you.
Right, I've just uploaded, by the way, the picture of my slippers onto Facebook. You'll all be very impressed. You may have seen on my Facebook stream, which I've now started posting on again after a couple of months.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, I will stop. As soon as they make me have this stupid timeline thing, I'll be out of there.
I've got that now.
I like timeline.
I like it too.
I'm taking my picky. Trouble is I've got reflections of things, so I'm just going to take my picky now.
I was on there the other day, and I did post on there the fact that I was devastated earlier on in the week to find out that Dalek Ulfstranden doesn't mean bad Norwegian.
Does it not?
doesn't. Yeah, no. Made it up. Oh. I was absolutely. That's the apart from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that was the only Norwegian I knew. And it turns out that it's not even Norwegian.
I've got to get out of here, Adam. I've got a question.
Oh, go on, then.
Do you need me to upload my recording? Because I don't think I have time.
No, I don't. That's fine. If I get a problem, okay. I'll contact you later. Stop flapping your ears.
It was your mummy.
Sorry,
it was Star flapping her ears then. Although you probably would have picked it up on the microphone anyway for the show, because as you'll see from the picture I've just uploaded onto the Facebook group, I've got a little handheld microphone.
I just got an email about it.
Did you?
I can't see it yet.
Yeah.
Refresh it then. Yes, listeners.
I hadn't finished.
Haven't you?
Come up now.
You haven't finished what?
Come up now, don't worry.
I was taking less than a minute ago. It's amazing technology, isn't it?
And I was the first person to like it. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'm
out of here. Me recorded show.
Talk to everyone.
See what I've written? Me recorded show. Oh, for God's sake. It's me trying to write while recording.
Me recorded show.
while speaking and recording and texting at the same time, yes.
Ben likes it too.
Yes.
Anyway, this is Ben. Bye.
Bye, Kirby.
Bye.
See you, Kirby. Have a good day. Hey, you've got them on the wrong feet, Ben.
No, I haven't. That's the funny thing. I haven't.
Well, I can't see Ben's picture. Where's Ben's picture?
You've got your legs crossed, I bet.
Unless I've got my legs crossed. Did I have my legs crossed when I took them? I must have.
I don't know.
Is Ben's picture on the group or is it on the main Facebook feed?
I've put it on the group as well now. I've worked it out. Hang on.
Let's do it. I know someone's left the group. We're down to 107 members now.
Hold
Thanks.
On a
yeah, go on.
Look. In the background of my my slippers picture, you might also spot a Doctor Who annual on the floor.
Oh, I do too, yeah.
So is that indicating your house needs tidying? Oh, my God, yeah, I've seen them there. Oh, great slippers.
Now, that actually, that's only there because I use it as a mouse mat for my daughter, because she can't use the mouse on the computer very well, so I'll give her a proper mouse. Which is much better with that.
So anyway, that's the gauntlet thrown down for Reese and Robert to post. Robert can't. Reese, what about you? Can you not post a picture on there?
Not right now, but I can get around to it.
Oh, get around
maybe.
To it.
Maybe.
I can take a photo and I can post it on there.
Oh, go on. Let's do some pickies.
Just not with my phone, though.
I'd have to get open.
I think we should ask for people who are listening to the podcast right now, this very second, to take a photo of what they're doing or what they're wearing.
How are they
going to
do that? Because it's recorded.
And put it onto 20 megabytes. Well, no, obviously, as they're listening to it recorded, you donut. God, it's like trying to have a conversation with Stephen Moffat. Yes, but as they're listening to it right now, this second, whenever it is in their time, like, because obviously for Reese it's now Wednesday, for Kirby it was last Thursday, and for us it's actually Monday.
Yeah.
Take a photo of whatever you're doing.
It's actually Friday here.
Is it Friday? Sorry, I've got my timelines all wrong again.
That clock's going, that means I've got to do the dog dinner in a minute.
Put a photo of what you're doing listening to the podcast on the...
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Yeah,
and the best one wins nothing.
Yeah. No, the best one would win what I owe Robert and what I owe Chuck. I've got the 20 megabyte little A4 poster, which I mean to send out to a very limited amount of people. That's Robert and... pardon me, and Chuck. I will eventually send it out. It's just a case of getting around to printing it out and sending it out. So that is on the card. So, yes, I could do that. I could certainly print out one of our very exclusive limited edition A4 posters for the winner. That would be the winner for the best picture we get sent in from listeners listening to the show. We'll probably get about one. But nevertheless, that'd be really good.
Anyway, darling Alf Stranden, as I was saying before everyone started interrupting me and leaving and stuff, doesn't mean Bad Wolf Bay in Norwegian. What it actually means... I can't be bothered with it anymore. Just go to tardis.wikia.com/wiki/darling_Alf_Stranden. Or actually just type Darling Alf... No, but type Bad Wolf Bay into Google. It's the first thing that comes up. I was gutted. I was devastated. I was really upset.
Yeah, it's a cop-out, isn't it, really, for whoever wrote that? That was Russell T. Davis, wasn't it?
Okay, photo's been taken.
Have you uploaded it yet?
Ooh. I have to run and get the camera and do mine.
I'm really loving this. This is great fun. I've got to start cooking the dog's dinner, but this is delaying me. But it's
It's a great.
I'm just connecting the camera. It's just getting the pictures to the. Then I have to upload it to my thing.
It's going to be a long show, this one. One thing I forgot or didn't have time to do with Alicia earlier on in the episode was Doctor Who news. I'm just seeing if there is any.
I saw something.
Actually, these shirts are really cool.
Thank you, Reese.
I do want to buy one of them. I just don't have the money. So if someone wants to buy me one, I'll be more than happy to accept a fifth Doctor T-shirt.
Sure, you would.
To buy me a laptop, I'd be happy too.
I'd be more than happy to accept all 11 T-shirts.
Me too. I'm talking about. No, you're talking about that. That just reminded me. I keep forgetting this on the show. One, if you want to donate to the show, which helps keep the show going, and the last person who donated to the show has basically kept it going for a whole month. So thank you very much. On our website at Podbean, which is 20megabyte.2podcast.podbean.com, is a donate button, and you can donate via PayPal on that. What was the other thing I was going to... So we've got sponsors. We have sponsors. Did you know that? 21.co.uk.
Yes. Who is it?
We haven't really properly mentioned them over the last few weeks, so I thought it might be a good idea to sort of mention them.
21.com.uk.
No, Robert! 21.co.uk.
Sorry.
21.co.uk?
Yes.
That is a fantastic website on which you can buy all sorts of Doctor Who memorabilia. And artifacts and stuff.
Face of Evil has just come out, hasn't it?
Ace Adventures?
Face of Evil.
Oh, that. Oh. The Ace Adventures. What a thoughtful and imaginative title for a box set.
Sorry, did you say something? I was so busy looking on the who1.co.uk website that I didn't hear what you were saying.
No, I was looking on the who1.co.uk website because they've got a Cyber Leader retro action figure for 1990.
Sorry, Adam, you dipped out there. Can you just say where you were looking at again?
who1.co.uk.
Is that who1.co.uk?
Yeah, with DWM 444 has just come out. And you've got a Dalek Malia coaster set, which I wouldn't mind having, at a bargain at £4.99 plus £2 postage. Various sound effects. Oh, the sound effects CD. I want that. £5.99 plus £1.50 postage. I think I might have to go there because I really do want that sound effects CD for the show.
Hold on.
www.whoone.co.uk.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I'll definitely buy all my Doctor Who memorabilia and other stuff from there.
You can get the TARDIS key from there as well at £14.99 plus £1.75 postage and a stationery set. There's loads of things there. Have a look.
Is that the late Third Doctor, Fourth Doctor key?
It's that the Third Doctor used, I think. I may be wrong. Anyway.
But didn't he use that towards the end of his run? Is that the heart shape or shield shape?
The shield shape one, yes. Back to Doctor Who news. Yes, about donations, yes, Ben.
About donations, yeah. Don't forget as well, if you're going abroad or coming into the country, you can buy me some duty-free Marlboro lights. That'd be lovely.
And of course,
I can't afford it.
If you want to send in some email like we had earlier on in the show, please do.
On the back of a Marlboro light pack.
Yeah, thank you. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And also, if you really do feel in the need for sending in feedback to podcasts, you can do so to the Who Is The Man podcast as well.
What?
And Reese,
that would be whoisthemanpodcast@hotmail.com.
But send it into ours first, although Ben will get very cross.
I'm just checking down the list of top 30 podcasts. Who Is The Man? Oh, it's not in there.
Because they didn't release a show. They didn't release that. Oh, my goodness. Right, yeah, Doctor Who news. There's loads of it.
Apparently,
actually.
Matt Smith has taken up smoking Marlboro Light cigarettes and suggested this percent. No, he hasn't. That's a scurrilous slur. There is some news, though. Stephen Moffat, he was saying last week that he thinks that the new monsters are better than the old monsters, and he wants to avoid repeating things on Doctor Who.
That is ironic, isn't it?
That's fantastic, isn't it? I always say new monsters are better in Doctor Who because you fall in love with monsters when they're new. One of the temptations, particularly if it's a success, is to keep repeating your hits or your favourite lines or your favourite stories or your favourite plot bits, which means you hear it again and again and again.
Yes, that's Stephen, well done. There's some location shots shown on the DoctorWhoNews.net site. So if you want to have a look at location shots, don't really give much of the story away, but they're quite interesting to see the actors in action and the crew and that on the bay that Ben was referring to a few moments ago, funny enough.
There was also something in the... Toby White, Whithouse was saying that he knows all about the new companion, who it's going to be, who's been cast, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, you tease.
Yeah.
You've got the story going around as well about Benedict Cumberbatch, who was a year or so ago, 18 months ago, maybe even 2 years, maybe even when Tennant was going, actually, was being talked about as a potential new Doctor.
Yeah.
He actually said at the time of all this stuff, oh, well, no, I'm not going to be the Doctor, but I'm going to play a pretty significant role.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of come out over the last couple of weeks that it looks as though he's going to be playing the Master, doesn't it? I know we had a quick discussion on this last week,
yeah,
but there was something else I saw about it in the last 7 days, which kind of makes it look like he's pretty much nailed on to that role now.
Could be interesting to see, won't it?
Ben, is that Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cabbage patch. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I like John Sim as the Master.
Yeah.
So do I.
I like David Tennant as the Doctor.
But talking about back to news. Doctor Who News.net has posted the video of Matt Smith on Top Gear. So if you wanted to watch that clip, that is and now
who
on.
Did? Where?
Matt Smith on Top Gear is now available on a clip of it on Doctor Who News.net. So if you want to go and have watched that, that's a good point.
You can count how many times he plays with his hair during the interview.
I know.
Needs a haircut.
537.
He has had a haircut. If you look at the video of the audio I played earlier on in the show, he has had a haircut since
on
then.
On ITV.
Yes. The actor Dennis Chinnery has died at the age of 85.
Who did he play?
He played small roles in films. Let's see what he played in Doctor Who. I can't see.
Sean Connery.
He was in The Twin Dilemma. Played Professor Sylvester. He was in Genesis of the Daleks. He played
Cardiff. He was the white-haired guy, wasn't he?
Kylid Sinist Garman.
He was trying to help them.
He was in
the
Chase.
He was trying to help, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was the first mate on the Mary Celeste on The Chase as well. So he's got a bit of a Doctor Who pedigree there.
I'm doing my photo. Shall I do my photo of my scar?
If you want to.
Is it on the back of your hand? And then you've got a gas mask trying to work its way up your throat.
Finally, as far as news, obviously it's been spoken of at the Gallifrey convention that somebody actually took along the movie console to the convention, you know, the 1997 TV movie console. And there's pictures of people with it on the Doctor Who News.net page, and it's rather nice. Somebody actually owns this, and they're so lucky, it's unbelievable. But they took it along.
Those people are actually Paul McGann and the other people in the
movie. Oh, yeah, so it is. Oh, look, it's... I should have noticed that. But from that angle, it's not that easy to.
Yeah,
it's actually three actors, isn't it? Oh well, yes. Excellent. That's still nice. So there you go. Yes. Anything for anybody else before I go and cook the dogs' dinners?
Yes, I'm going to upload my photo.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll have a look then.
Oh,
I didn't like that console.
I'm going to spell. You I'm didn't. Going to spell what I'm adding right.
I did spell what I added. I just stated it incorrectly.
Actually, you should read the gerb that goes along with the. Picture of the that goes along with the picture of the console because it's quite interesting.
The console,
the console.
Oh, sorry.
Interesting how he acquired it actually.
Yeah, I'm not going to breed it out, but yes, just have a look at that, listeners.
No, I wasn't telling to you. I was saying to our Podgram listeners. All
right, but I'm just saying I wasn't going to read it out.
You don't have to. Hold on, look. There's some pictures of them filming Doctor Who, and one of them is of Matt Smith jumping. So we can pretty much guarantee in the next series of Doctor Who,
he's going to
jump at least once.
Wow.
I know, that's just fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
The, doc-
The episode, I saw another picture of him walking, actually.
Ah, well, this episode's called The Doctor Jump Slash Walks.
Ah.
That's pretty good, I reckon. We're lucky that they even do that.
Oh, anyway, so, right.
Everybody see my picture? My picture.
Hang on, let's see if we can't get that to... hang on, where's the refresh button? I've just gone to put the dog's dinners on. And it's outside. Beautiful sunshine. It's a scorching... It's a scorching 8 degrees out there.
Is that a sausage?
Yes.
Hey?
Yeah, I've got a sausage on there.
Sausage? Ooh. And it looks like some sort of crab.
Crab, yeah. I'm eating the
sausage and crab.
That is
I'm eating macra.
That is an excellent picture.
You're eating a Mac.
Because you can see Facebook in the background.
Yeah.
And my picture. You can see Facebook in the background.
Picture of it.
And Adam's
and
head
me.
I'm
going to
take a picture of me.
Hey, it's 30 degrees here, and it's 9:15.
It's
quarter past one. It's 8 degrees outside. It's a bit warmer in here because I've got the heater on. And the dog's
and
just
the
given up on the sunshine.
It's
coming.
The M3 and... Oh, sorry, I thought you were doing an update for the... like they're doing the radio.
No, I wasn't doing that at all, no.
M24.
Right, that's it then. I think
Adam.
Yes?
Because obviously we all want to go in a minute because you've got to do the dog's dinner and I've got to take my little girl's log.
I'm doing the dog's dinner. I've just got to make our bed because last week I forgot to make our bed. And Deb came in. Deb came in, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
And anyway, she washed her hair and I went out and came back in and she came storming downstairs with a face like thunder. Oh, God, what's happened to the laptop now? But actually what had happened was I'd forgot to make the bed and she said, one thing I'd ask you to do. And, I was in trouble. So I need to make the bed.
So the fact it's a female thing, so actually it wasn't one thing, it was about 412 things, and you'd actually not done one of them, and that was the one she picked up on. Yes, we've all got wives, we all know how they work.
Quite possibly, yeah. Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
iPod, grammar.
Bye-bye.
Don't buy iPhones.
Bye. Do buy iPhones. Bye.
Bye. Buy iPhones.
Buy iPhones.
Yes.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production. Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Greetings to the 20 megabyte pod. My eyes read podcast, my mind wanted to say podgram, and it came out as podgram.
Did you not used to enjoy it when you could record your radio shows as well?
Well, I always recorded some bits of my radio show, not always, but I often recorded bits of my radio show because it meant you could go home early.